ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ജമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാമി ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം സോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാത് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം ജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശ്രൂഷുവീ തൽക്ഷണാൻ കൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്നം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോഃ മമ വാചി വിജംബദാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീനാം ആദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഗം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിപാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. Yesterday we talked about the pastime where Lord Brahma has offended Krishna and Krishna has decided to destroy the false ego of Brahma. That is that pastime we started yesterday. ബിഭ്രധ്വേനം ജഠരപടയോ ശൃംഗവേ ത്രേജകക്ഷൈ വാമേ പാണോ മസൃണകബലം തൽഫലാന്യങ്കുലീഷു തിഷ്ഠൻ മധ്യേ സുപരി സുഹൃദോ ഹാസയൻ നർമ്മഭിസ്വൈ സുർഗേ ലോകേ മിഷതി ബുഭുജേ യജ്ഞഭൂക് ബാലകേളി. വേഴ്സ് 11 ഇൻ ദി 13th ചാപ്റ്റർ. 13th ചാപ്റ്റർ വേഴ്സ് 11. So, you'll see, Krishna has, Brahma came, he wanted to see and understand who this Krishna is. So, when he came from the sky, what he saw is this scene, what Sukadeva Goswami is talking about here. That, Surge loge mushadi bubuje yatyabuk balage li. That Brahma was in a shock seeing the state of Krishna, enjoying his pastimes with the other cowherd boys, joking with them, and also having prasadam together all without any difficulty. Krishna enjoyed eating with these cowherd boys, and Brahma saw that he was actually shocked. And he went back from the sky. And when Sukadeva Goswami, you will see in the 12th chapter, in the verse 39, he mentions there, Sagradyadanga pradimandara ahidam manomai bhagavadim dadaugadim sa eva nityalpa sukhanu bhuthyabhi vidastamaya andargadohikim punyaham. Sagradyadanga, this is in relationship with Akasura. Akasura swallowed Krishna, took Krishna inside his mouth, isn't it? Krishna was inside Akasura's mouth. Sudeva Goswami says, Sagradyadanga pradimandarahidam. Here, Akasura has taken Krishna inside and Akasura got liberated. If it is like that, Sudeva Goswami says, Manomai Bhagavadim Dadau Gadim, that even if you take the a reflection of a deity of Krishna, even once if it goes inside, that Krishna will have its effect on that personality. So, what to talk about those who are constantly absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and without any connection with the Maya or touch of Maya, what will happen to them? Is there any surprise at all? Says Sukadeva Goswami there. Isn't it? So, so many different incarnations have happened before. Lamachandra, Parashuram, Balaram, and Malsyam, fish, tortoise, boar, and Nrsimha, and all other incarnations have happened before at different times. But this appearance of Krishna as a deity, that is known Archavadaram. Archavadaram means Krishna appearing in front of us in the form of a deity. So, very, very famous temples where the deities are worshipped for a very, very long period of time by great, great devotees and great personalities. What to talk about that? Why? Because somehow or the other, in order that the mind must go inward looking and to realize this truth, everybody does not have the strength. Most of the people don't have that ability to turn the attention inwards. Because if their attention has gone to the world to a large extent, it is impossible for them to turn their attention inwards. So mind is always external, externally oriented. And in order that the attention to the external world, in order that that mind which has gone in the external world, to make it internal, to go inward looking, Krishna has taken a particular form and came in front of us. And that is this different incarnations. And in order that to help the devotees, Krishna has agreed to accept the form of a deity. To accept the form of a deity. Sakrityadanga pratimam. So, sometimes people think that the deity is also a lower level of Krishna's appearance. But Vinobha Bhave, he says in this commentary on Bhagavad Gita that if you see the Krishna, if you see Krishna in a person who is walking and moving around and speaking in this world, and that is easier, says Vinobha Bhave. But on the other hand, in a deity which does not even move, who stays in one place, and to see Krishna's presence there, and that is a little bit more difficult. But that is the only option we have. to see Krishna in a vastu, vastu means this deity form, which does not move, whether it is sagunam or nirgunam, that one has to think about that. Because if you can see Krishna's presence in the deity, then it should be possible to see Krishna's presence in all other names and forms. Because seeing Krishna in the deity is more difficult than actually seeing Krishna in a person who is living, who is moving, where there is life. And so therefore, Rishi, sages are saying to us, Krishna himself has appeared in this deity form, sagrita biyadanga pratima param gadim. So somehow or the other, if one can relate with the deity form, and if you can remember that bhagavadim gadim, all the great devotees, and they will reach the same destination of those great devotees. So in order that to help the devotees, Krishna has appeared in the form of the deities, appeared in the form of deities. And Krishna has, Akhasura has actually taken Krishna inside. We also have an Akhasura inside us. That is our false ego, or false ego. Akham means sin. And the all sinful activities coming from our doership. I am the doer. I am the doer. And the false ego. And false ego is nothing but what we address as false ego is got these two things, two elements in that. Which one? I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Kartrutva bhoktratvam. It is called false ego actually. is another name given to it in the name of false ego, because kartrutva bhoktrutvam, and it is there in everybody. And in order to get rid of that from there, we have to swallow Krishna inside. And swallow Krishna inside means what? What does that mean? Continuously to chant Krishna's holy names inside. Krishna's holy names inside. And once we develop that process nicely, then Krishna will appear inside. And Krishna appears inside Vyadastha Mayaha. That means he wipes out the whole Maya that is present inside. And that is Krishna's responsibility. Chanting, we have to continuously chant the holy name. And by constantly chanting the holy name, Krishna appears in the heart. And then he removes Maya from inside. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the same thing, isn't it? Chedodarpanam arjanam. Chedodarpanam arjanam is this, that removing that Maya from inside, wiping out that Maya from inside. That is what the holy name does. So, constantly chanting the holy name, when that chanting process continuously goes on inside, one day, by Krishna's kripa or mercy alone, Krishna appears and takes away all the presence of Maya from inside. Bhava maha dhava agni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam. Actually, we cannot do anything about Maya. We cannot fight Maya because Maya is too powerful. That is what Krishna is saying, mama maya durateyam, isn't it? Devi hesha gunamai mama maya durateya. Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita. Devi hesha gunamai, she is gunamai. Gunamai means all three modes of material nature is in her. She has got control over them. And Devi maya, mama maya is Devi maya. That Devi hesha gunamai mama maya durateya. It is very difficult to overcome, Krishna says. So, this Maya, Devi Maya, it is not easy to cross over. So, how can we cross over? Mamevayam prabhadyande maya medham tarandide. One who surrenders to me, Krishna says. Mamevayam prabhadyande. One who surrenders or performs sharanagati, for such a person, Krishna says, I'll take care of that. Maya medham tarandide. So there you can see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this point very clearly, that surrender is the key to bhakti. Surrender is the key to bhakti. So, sataradi, Narada Maharshi says in the sataradi mayam, in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, he mentions that. So, whoever receives Krishna's mercy, and very easily he can cross over this material existence, ocean of material life. Not only that, it actually helps others also to cross this material existence. That is the secret of this bhakti. So, bhakti means what is required to have bhakti. The first qualification and the most important qualification to develop bhakti in the heart is sharanagati or surrender. But in order to do that sharanagati, in order to have that sharanagati, first of all, we have to know that we have to do sharanagati. First of all, to do sharanagati, to develop bhakti, sharanagati is necessary. Krishna is saying like this. Look at the sequence in which Krishna talks about that. Maya is very difficult to overcome. Krishna says, those who have surrendered unto me, they can cross over this Maya. So in other words, surrender is the key to bhakti. The first step is surrender. But in order to surrender, first of all, we have to know that we have to surrender. How do we know that we have to surrender? That you will know from satsangam. Satsangam, only if you sit in satsangam, you will know about surrender. How will you come to surrender satsangam? Satsangam, that what brings us into satsangam, and what is that vehicle that brings us into the satsangam, is our karmam. How should we perform the karmam that we will get to the satsangam? Satsangam will happen when the karmam is performed without any expectation of results. Karmam nishkamam, nishkama karmam. That creates satsangam, gives an opportunity for satsangam. So nishkamam, that means without expectation of any results, how will you execute karmam? In for doing that, the inside, the heart, it must be pure. The heart has to become pure. How will the heart become pure? That is where Krishna's causeless mercy. Krishna's mercy. Those of us who are completely caught up in the sense gratification and the false ego, and for them, when we are in that situation, Krishna gives us a lot of distress. And when that lot of distress comes, that powerful false ego inside will start getting weakened. It will start getting weakened. It will start feeling the illusive, it will lose its strength. And only when it loses its strength, then there is chitta shuddhi, or purification inside happens. Purification inside happens. So here, Akasura was liberated, and after a year, the cowherd boys went and spoke to their members of the family of what has happened. And they all went back and told them that Krishna has killed a snake, huge snake. But why this 1 year, why it has taken, what has happened before they were five years old, that they have stopped in the 6 years, they have when they gone and reported that to the, reported at home. So, what has happened in Vrindavanam this 1 year, Parikshit has asked. Sudeva Goswami was not saying anything about it. Parikshit again asked the question. If you look into the 12th chapter, 43rd verse, second time Parikshit is asking that question again. He is saying that
Vayam dhanyadama loke gurobi kshatrabandhava yalpivamo muhostatvam punyam krishna kathamrutam.
Although we are vayam dhanyadama loke gurobi kshatrabandhavaha yalpivamo muhostatvam tatva punyam krishna kathamrutam. We are hearing Krishna's pastime that Parikshit, how inside Parikshit there was a tremendous amount of happiness coming. That is why he was saying that words. Something in him was feeling, he was feeling it very much. Dhanyada. Dhanyada means a kind of satisfaction inside. A kind of satisfaction inside. Parikshit told Sudeva Goswami that I am willing to sit and listen to Krishna Kathamritam, the about Krishna, without caring for food or drink or sleep. I am willing to listen. He said that in the beginning of the 10th canto, isn't it? And now he is feeling a certain amount of happiness inside, and that is why he is saying here, although we are degraded, I am a degraded Kshatriya. Why did he say like that? Because Parikshit was still feeling of that incident where he took the dead snake and put it on the throat of that great sage, which was, as far as Parikshit is concerned, was a very abominable thing to do as a Kshatriya. So having done that, now he is repenting and he says that I am a degraded Kshatriya, but still I had this good fortune of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shuka Brahmarshi, Sudeva Goswami. And that happiness in him is what he is expressing there in that verse. That
Yayavayam Dhanyadama Loke Guru Bhikshatrabandhava Yelpibamo Muhustvatta Punyam Krishna Kathamradam.
Because the fact that we are continuously hearing about Krishna is expressing his happiness, that he is not frightened about death. Death is not an issue anymore. So when Krishna mentions that Krishna Bahir Drishilabdahi, then with a great difficulty, Sudeva Goswami, who was in the Samadhi state, he has to come to the Bahirmukham, external. And mind has, actually what has happened is, the mind has gone in, it has gone inwards, and is completely dissolved in the soul. And therefore, mind has gone and absorbed in Krishna.
And with great difficulty, he has to bring it out again. He has to bring it external, make it external. Parikshit, because he has to speak about Krishna to Parikshit, therefore he decided to make it, bring it out. So he continues, he says to Parikshit, the symptom of the devotees is like this, is this. That for them, no amount of hearing about Krishna, they will be satisfied.
Sadamayam sarabhradam nisargho yadharthavani shrutichedasamapi pradikshanam navyavadachyutasayan sriyavidanam iva sadhuvartam.
That is the opinion of Sukadeva Goswami. What does he say? He says that sadamayam sarabhradam nisargho. If you look into the 13th chapter, second verse, he says, Sadamayam sarabhradam nisargo yadarthavani shudhichetasam api pradikshanam navyavadachyutasayan sriyavidanam iva sadhuvartam. So, just like those who are addicted to sense enjoyment, or those who like to hear about the sense gratification, just like men who are very attached to women, they like to hear about their the Striya Vidanam Iva Sadhuvartam. They like to hear about their relationship with the women. They are always interested in hearing about them and absorbed in their thoughts about that. Equally, he says, similarly, and every time they find something new in their sense enjoyment. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami says here, devotees also, when they hear about Krishna continuously, they never get satisfied. They are always hearing something new every time. Example given here is men who are attached to women and who wants to enjoy in that way, they are inclined to hear about women, but they never get satisfied. They constantly keep on hearing this, and every time it appears to them something new in their in what they hear. So similarly, devotees also, when they hear about Krishna, those who are great devotees, Sudeva Goswami says, pradikshanannam vyavadachyutasayan, about hearing about Krishna is always navam means always it's new. They never get bored with it. Sriya vidanam iva sadhu vartam, that their satisfaction, they have the greatest satisfaction, but they continuously hear about Krishna. So, saying that, he mentions to them that because the reason is this, according to our vasana, we would like to hear about those things. Whatever vasana we have inside, and that's what we will like to hear from outside. Sometimes, if we talk about some stories, it may not like it. On the same time, if you talk about someone, and they may like to hear about that, because they'll come and sit near to next to hear about that. So, if it is something related to us, we will have a taste of hearing that. Sudeva Goswami say here, pradikshanam navyavad achyutasya. That means hearing about Achyuta, it's always navam, it's always new. Just like materialist, when they talk about sense gratification, how much happiness they derive from that. Similarly, devotees also experience a similar happiness from hearing about Krishna. Therefore, talk to me about Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami was requested by Parikshit like that. In the 13th chapter, if you look at the third verse, he says, Shrunushovahido Rajan Abhiguhyam Vadamide Bruyus Nigdasya Shishyasya Guravo Guhyam Apyadam. Look at that verse, Bruyus Nigdasya Shishyasya Guravo Guhyam Apyadam. It doesn't matter how confidential it is, how confidential the topic is, a spiritual master will never hide it from the disciple. That is the principle. No matter how confidential the subject is, a spiritual master will always reveal the the secrets to the or spiritual life to the disciple. Therefore, he says here that bruyu snigdasya shishyasya shrinushvavahito rajan abhiguhyam vadamide. There are many secrets in spiritual life, isn't it? Many secrets in spiritual life, particularly while studying shastram. And there are guhyam means basically all the subtle things, all the subtle side of spirituality, subtle side of spiritual life. So he says to him, bruyu snigdasya shishyasya guravo guhyam apyudaham, that no matter how difficult it is, if the disciple is very dear to the spiritual master, the spiritual master will definitely reveal all the secrets to the disciple, all the secrets to the disciple. So they will not cover up anything from them. So therefore it says here, saying this, Sukadeva Goswami or Sukabrahmarshi started speaking. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were playing in Vrindavanam and they were enjoying that. Brahma wanted to see Krishna at that time, and before Krishna's appearance, if you remember, Brahma and other demigods, Lord, everybody together, they went into the ocean of milk. And from the standing on the ocean of milk, banks of that ocean, they prayed to Vishnu to appear, isn't it? They prayed Vishnu to appear by chanting Purusha Suktam prayers. That is, you have seen in the first chapter of the 10th canto. Chanting Purusha Suktam prayers, all the demigods, they all went under the leadership of Brahma to the ocean of milk, and on the banks of the ocean, they stood there and prayed to Vishnu. And Vishnu promised them that he will appear. Vishnu promised them that he will appear. At that time, they didn't see any form of Krishna. Any form of Krishna they haven't seen at that time. They spoke from there, and Vishnu heard that, and the answer came from the sky. Now that he has appeared, what form Vishnu has taken, and what all pastimes he was performing. In order to do see that, Brahma had a desire to experience that. So he came to the sky and stood there. He came to the sky and stood there. So all the children, cowherd boys, they were playing together. They brought their food as well. If you look into the first chapter in this 10th canto, you will see there that in the first chapter, 21st verse, you will see this, that giram samadho gagane samiridam nishamya veda tridashanu vachaha gam paurushimme shunudamara punar vidhiyadam ashutathaivam achiram. Verse 21. Giram samadho gagane samiridam nishamya veda tridashanu vachaha gam paurushimme shunudamara punar vidhiyadam ashutathaivam achiram. So in samadhi state, when Lord Brahma glorified Vishnu through Purusha Suktam prayers, Brahma was in a samadhi state. And in that giram samadhau, he fell into a samadhi state after chanting the Purusha Suktam prayers. And in that samadhi state, from the sky, gagane samiridam, from the sky, he heard this voice from the sky speaking to them. And Brahma only heard that. And Brahma says to all the other demigods who are present there, hear from me what Vishnu has spoken to me, and we should work accordingly. Gam paurushimme shrunudamara punar vidhiyadam ashu tadaivam achiram. We should act accordingly and we shouldn't delay anymore. This is what he said at that time. And in the same thing here, that you can see that Brahma is observing this. Sarve mitho, verse 10, in the 13th chapter. Sarve mitho darshayanda susubhojirujim prithak hasandohasayandascha abhruvajjahusaheshwaram. Sarve mitho darshayanda and susubhojirujim prithak hasandohasayandascha abhruvajjahusaheshwaram. Everybody, every one of them, he says, they were opened their packets which they brought with them, and they were giving to each other what they brought from home. And Krishna was present there wearing his yellow garment, and beautiful color of Krishna and with the peacock feather, and his cane in his armpits, and also his flute on his hips, all keeping like that, and with all the fingers, different fingers, different foodstuff he is holding. Vibradhvenam jadarabhatayo shrangavetre chakakshai vamei panomasana kabalo talbhala nyanguleshum tishtan madhye sabari suhradam hasayan marma bhiswai sorge loge mushadi bubuje yajnyabok bhalageleem. Krishna is the agrabok, agrabok in the yajnyam. Agrabok means, or yajnyabok means agrabok. Agrabok means in the among those personalities who are accepting the offerings and the sacrifices, Krishna is supposed to sit first and all others to follow. Therefore, he is called agrabok. Agrabok means one who sits in the first in the line. First in the line. So, accordingly what they have seen, say, so in that, when sacrifices are performed, they invite Krishna to come, but he doesn't. He don't come at that time. And that Krishna here, he is sitting right in the middle of all the carpet boys, and they were enjoying the feast all together. They were joking each other, and Krishna was making them all laugh with his jokes. And all these things Brahma saw from the sky, and he started thinking, is this Mahavishnu? Is Vishnu is like this? In Vaikuntham, if you want to see Mahavishnu, you have to take a token and stand in the queue to see Vishnu. And here, for and not only that, there you have to get the permission from Jaya and Vijaya also. They will also be there as the gatekeepers, isn't it? So even if you stand for a queue, perhaps you may get a darshan for 10 seconds or something and you will be asked to leave. And not only that, because Vishnu, when lying in Mahavishnu, lies in the Vaikuntham, he has got such a long body, he lies down, isn't it? He lies down. So if you see the head, you can't see the leg, because it's so long, the body. And if you see the leg, you can't see the head. Same time, you can't see the whole person. So, he says, and he's lying on top of the Adishesha, on the Adishesha. So, here, there is no such restriction. Krishna is sitting right in the middle of all these carpet boys and exchanging yogurt and butter and all other sweets. And are they talking anything serious topic? No, not even any discussion about any serious topic. And all the type of things what we talked about yesterday, that kind of jokes they were making each other. And when Brahma saw all these things, he got a lot of shock. Is this Mahavishnu, he thought. Because in his estimation, Mahavishnu is his boss, isn't it? Who is present there in the Vaikuntham. So, seeing Mahavishnu joking like this, he was saying here, that is that verse, important verse, next one. 15. Ambho janmani tadandaragato mayar bhagasye shitu drishtum manju mahitvamanyadavidat valsvanido valsavan nitvanyatra kuru duhandara tathad ke vastidoya pura drishtva akhasura mokshanam prabhavada prapta param vismayam. 15. Ambho janmani tadandaragato mayar bhagasye shitu. While in the sky, when Lord Brahma saw this Akasura after getting killed by Krishna, Akasura went and merged into Krishna's lotus feet. That Brahma, it is after that incident that Brahma wanted to understand Krishna better, wanted to know about Krishna's what is Krishna, who is Krishna. He hasn't experienced Krishna before. So he says to him, Ambho janmani tadandaragato mayar bhagasye shidur drishtum manju mahitvam anyadavidaval tadvalsanido valsavan. He thought that let me test Krishna about his capabilities, what he is capable of. And here, with the help of Yogamaya, this performance of these pastimes is happening. Pastimes are happening. And wanted to know about how far Krishna can utilize this Maya and how Krishna will react to it. He wanted to know that, and therefore what he did, all the calves which were present there, which the cowherd boys have left for grazing, Brahma took them all with the power of his Maya. He has sent them to another place and sent them in hiding. Cowherd boys and Krishna did not know where the calves have gone. That's the first thing he did. Nitva anyatra kuruduhan andara dadat kayavastido yapuraha drishwa akhasura mokshanam prabhavada prapta param vismayam. After seeing Akhasura's liberation, Brahma wanted to test Krishna's power, and that is what was in his mind. So he tried, this first thing was to cover all the calves who were grazing there. He took them all and moved away from there and kept into hiding, took them to into hiding. So when this happened, and he was saying here that Ambho Janmani, the word says Ambho Janmani. Ambho Janmani means one who has, Ambhojam is, Ambhojam means one who has taken birth in the lotus flower, in the lotus flower. So, although this lotus flower has come from Mahavishnu's navel, isn't it? From the navel. And in the navel, Krishna, Vishnu, Brahma has appeared. Brahma has appeared. In other words, Brahma is not different from Vishnu in that sense. What was the reason for Brahma to appear? We see that in the Bhagavatam. Reason for Brahma to appear was Vishnu got bored being alone, and Vishnu felt a necessity for satsangam. So he wanted to speak about Bhagavatam to somebody, and who will hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahma Vidya? He wanted to talk about that with someone. So he looked into his navel, and when his vision fell on the navel, immediately there was this lotus flower, lotus has come out from the navel, from the navel. And when he looked into that lotus, the closed lotus flower, it opened up. When it opened up and Krishna looked there, and next when Vishnu's vision fell there, immediately the lotus flower opened. And when he looked inside, Vishnu's form itself took another form and appeared there. That is Lord Brahma. That is Lord Brahma. And then Mahavishnu entered into Brahma's heart and made Brahma to ask this question. Told Vishnu that please instruct me on the truth. Instruct me on the truth. Tatvabhadesham. And that is what we have seen before. Chadishlogi Bhagavadam. Isn't it? Chalaslogi Bhagavadam. So from Brahma onwards, so first Krishna has instructed the knowledge of the soul about, that is the famous words in the Chalaslogi. Aham eva sameva agre nanyadyal sarasal param paschad aham yade edacha yovashishya dasosmiham. The first verse which we have discussed before. Aham eva sameva agre. In the beginning there was only me. Nanyandip sadasaparam. Paschadaham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmiham. When everything is over, ultimately it's only me who remain. In the beginning, it was only me. When everything is finished, at the end also, only me remain. That was the statement. And because in the beginning there is only me, and in the end also there is only me, in the middle also only me exists. In the middle also only me exist. Tasma ahameva samegra mevagre nanyadyat sadasal param paschadaham yade edacha yovashishye edasosmiham. That is that verse. That is the logic. In Vedantam also it is the same logic. In the beginning there is only Krishna. In the end also there is only Krishna. And therefore in the middle also there can be only Krishna, nothing else. Nothing else. There is no reality. So here, the children are playing, and this is Bhagavata Dharmam. And Krishna, Brahma wanted to see that form. What did Brahma do? Brahma immediately sent all the calves into hiding. So, First time when Krishna closed his eyes, all the children were caught in Akasura's mouth. Second time when Krishna closed his eyes, all the calves and the cowherd boys, they were all caught in Brahma's hands. Exactly like Akasura did, Brahma was also doing the same thing. So, Brahma's srishti, Brahma's creation, and is Brahma's creation is a sinful thing in the sense that those who are created by Brahma, they have to take birth again, isn't it? So it's not a very nice thing that they have to come back to this world and accepting another material body again and go through all the miseries of material life. These children and the calves, everything, Brahma took them to a cave, a large cave, and closed the cave from outside with a stone, and they were all caught inside that cave. And Krishna started looking for them. Krishna couldn't find them. He couldn't find anybody. And after a while he looked around, he couldn't find any of his friends. And then he looked around for the calves, they were also gone missing. None of them were there. Krishna understood. Brahma wants to see the divinity of Krishna, Krishna's divine nature. So Krishna decided to please Brahma, and that is a verse 18. If you look, you will see what he says there. Tata Krishna mudram udam kartam tanmadranam chakasya cha ubhayaidam almanam chakre vishukriti ishwaraha. Then tada krishna mudam kartam tanmadranam chakasya cha uda ubhayaidam almanam chakre vishukriti ishwaraha. That Vishwakrita Ishwaraha, Krishna who is the Ishwara, and Vishwakrit who is the creator, actual creator, in order to give happiness to the calves and the cows and to Lord Brahma, and Krishna took their form. This is one of the most interesting pastime in the 10th canto. What happened was, Krishna decided that if Brahma can use his Maya and try to tempt me, and let me show him what I am capable of doing. And Brahma says to him at that time that that Krishna's Ishwaratvam. Ishwaratvam means that he is the supreme controller, and that is what that Krishna has exhibited here. That Ubhayayam, just like in a dream, Krishna did the creation. What does that mean? See, in a dream state, what we normally do in a dream state, we create everything, isn't it? The soul inside us create everything. The soul can expand in the dream state. You know what it means, isn't it? In the dream state, the soul will take different forms. Suppose, I go home and sleep now. In the dream, I see this room. I see everyone very distinctly in the dream. The mic, the table, the photographs, the walls, the lights, and everybody who is present here. I see them all in the dream. Separately, everybody. No one is present there. But in that dream state, I can create them through the power of dream. That is the potency of the soul. This is the potency of the soul. Soul can create everybody. In other words, I have to expand in that different forms and present in the dream state. There is nobody present there in the vacant state. But I can experience everybody. Why? Because I have expanded myself into different forms in the dream state. This is the reason Upanishads are saying to us, this dream state was created only for one reason, to teach us how the soul is capable of creation. Just like we see this gross world manifested here like this, isn't it? When we see this gross world, we keep asking, who has created this? And then we come with all our different theories, with our brain, what we have thought and understood. Krishna's point is, Upanishads and sages are telling us, we have these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Sushupti state is to teach us that liberation is possible and without the help of any senses, mind, intelligence, the soul on its own is always happy. That is Satyachitta Anandam state, that is the Sushupti state, isn't it? Although it is covered by ignorance outside, once you remove the ignorance, to show to us, when you leave this body, when you leave the mind, when you leave the intelligence, when you leave the ego, that is when actually you experience the greatest happiness, which is the deep sleep state. So to prove that, Krishna has created that deep sleep state. Similarly, in the dream state, we can expand and create everything we want. Again, to show to us that the soul, the consciousness which is present in the whole creation is capable of creating anything, is and expanding into any form. It's not that the soul, we have to understand this, that how creation happens. We always ask this question, who created it? Isn't it? Who has created all these things? That's when the process of creation is spoken about. So creation process in a miniature form is presented before us in the dream state. Nobody is present there in the dream. We are on our own. But we are capable of expanding into all these things in the different forms, different names and different age groups, different male, female form and different clothes, different nationalities, different, everything different. Just like in the creation, everything different. And all that happens in the dream state. Just to prove to the point to us that Upanishads are saying, the sages are telling us, just look at this dream state and learn the process of creation from that. That's the purpose behind it. That is the purpose behind it. So here also, what did Krishna do? Krishna did exactly the same thing. What he did was, he expanded himself. Krishna is that soul, isn't it? Alma, Alma, we are talking about, that is Krishna. Sachidanandam, Satyachittanandam, Sachidananda Rubaya, Vishwalpatyadi Hedave. That verse is indicating that. Sachidananda Rubaya, Krishna's Rupa means Satyachittanandam. And what else? Vishwalpatyadi Hedave, Ulpati of the Vishwam. Ulpati means the creation, the birth of this creation, Hedave, the cause of all that. Vishwalpatyadi, Tabatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayamma. So, in that same principle here, Krishna expanded himself. Krishna expanded himself. How did he expand? How many cowherd boys were there? Krishna has expanded as many cowherd boys as they were there. And if they were a small boy, he was a small boy, same age group. If he was a dark color, Krishna was a dark color. That boy was a dark color. And if he was a fat boy, Krishna was a fat boy, fat cowherd boy. And if he had a red turban, Krishna had a red turban. That boy had a red turban. Similarly, if you look at that boy, any cowherd boy, which Krishna has expanded into, all of them were exact replica of that who were hidden by Lord Brahma. Everything. Not only the body, but all their clothes, and apart from that, their dress. And even their canes, which the cowherd boys had, canes to control the cows, even that Krishna has expanded into that. Krishna has taken the form of dress, Krishna has taken the form of the cowherd boys, Krishna has taken the different turbans which they were wearing. All this is Krishna's expansion, even including the cane. Sri Rajari Swamiji says in the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary that he calls it as everything Chinmayam, Chinmudra. Chinvetram, everything chitta, 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 he adds into it. All the different things, what they have brought with them, Sridhara Swami adds chit to that. In other words, it is chit shakti now which has taken these different expansions. Not only the body, their clothes and their flutes and their canes, their turbans, all of them, it is chit shakti now. Chit Shakti has taken that form. And even all the calves who were present there, they were also Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti has taken that form also. And all these calves are not of the same color, isn't it? Some of them were black, some of them are little brown, some of them are white. So all different colors of the calves. Krishna has taken exactly the same color and same forms of the calves as well. And the calves had their bells in their neck, which they tie, isn't it? So the, even those bells, Krishna has expanded into the form of the bell in the neck of the calves as well. So, and their nature, all these cowherd boys, not only external appearance like that, even in consciousness, they were exactly like those persons who were there before. In their consciousness, their nature was the same. And some of the cowherd boys had stammering. They used to stammer while speaking. And that was also there in them. That was also there in them. And some of them has a cold, and they had cold now. And and some of them had a flu, they had the flu as well. Nothing has changed. Exactly identical in everything, every aspect. So they were present there. One of them used to walk in a funny sort of way. Everybody don't walk the same way, isn't it, in this world. Some of them hold their head high and walk like this. Some of them keep their head down and walk like this. So everybody, somebody is limping. Somebody walks with a different ways. People walk different way if you observe. Everybody don't walk. Of course, they walk with their legs, but the style of walking is different for everybody. Everybody walks different way. So the cowherd boys also, Krishna knew every one of them, each one of them, how they walked. And even now, after Krishna has expanded into them, they were also doing the same way. They were walking as well, because nobody should feel any doubt about them, who they were. So that's why it was done like that. And some of them were walking with their hands tied at the back. Sometimes you see people, they like to walk like that, with the hands tied at the back. So they were walking like that. So, sarvasvarupa obhav sarvam vishnumayam. If you look at the 19th verse, it says, yavad valsava valsakalpadavur, yavad karangri adigam, yavad yashti vishana venudulashit, yavad vibhushambaram, yavad shila gunabhidagrivayo, yavad viharadigam, sarvam vishnumayam girongavadajam, sarvam vishnumayam girongavadajam, sarvasvarupo bhavau. That is that verse to talk about Krishna's expansion. Krishna's expansion. He says here, yavad valsava valsakalpagavapur, yavad karangriadigam, or the cowherd boys and the calves, whatever form they had, how many limbs they had, legs, arms, everything. Similarly, their stick, their horns, their flutes, and the pots they have brought with them, and the jewelry what they were wearing, and the dress they had, and their habits, their names, their shape, and their age. All of that was properly duplicated by Krishna. And as though, he says here, sarvam vishnumayam gironga vadaja sarvasvarupo bhavam, that as though they are direct expansions of Krishna, sarvasvarupo bhavam, Krishna took their forms and stood there exactly like them. Nobody could say what is original and what is duplicate. What's original and what is duplicate? Nowadays everything comes from China, isn't it? So so sometimes we say this is original, that's a duplicate. But here it was very difficult. In Krishna's case, Krishna's created in such a way that sarvam vishnumayam yaval shila gunabhidagrati vayo yavad viharadiyam. And all the way they were relating with this world, they were interacting each other, everything exactly like the way it was before, because nobody should feel any doubt about that. That's why it was like that. So when this happened, that Brahma came there at that point, this is a special creation, not an ordinary creation. This is not the same type of creation which Krishna has given to Brahma by shaking the hands. Remember, Krishna taught Brahma and gave the power to create by shaking hands, isn't it? That's how first handshake happened in this creation. Krishna shook the hands with Brahma. While shaking, the Sarga Shakti, the creative power, flew. Creative power moved from Krishna's hands to Brahma's hands. So it is not that creation here now. It's a different kind of, completely different creation. That creation which was given to Brahma, that was, it's a creation that Krishna wanted to, Brahma has been creating for a long period of time, according to the instructions. And Brahma has recognized also and acknowledged as well that this creation process is a pain, is a headache. Brahma has said that many times. He didn't like it very much. But because that was given to him as his devotional service, he had to do it. Okay. He had no choice. So Brahma had to do this creation. And Brahma was complaining now and then. He was bickering and moaning about it. So Krishna thought that, let me show him how creation is. And he showed the creation in this way to Brahma. Brahma was getting bored actually. And therefore Krishna created once and showed it to him. Brahma says, Brahma's reason is this, that I'm creating all these people, I mentioned this also before, they're creating all these living entities and they go to the material world, get involved in all kinds of vigarmam there, engage in all kinds of demoniac activities, creates a lot of karmam behind them through their rajogunam and tamogunam, and eventually they have to accept another body. Because they have such strong karma vasana inside them. When they have developed such a strong karma vasana, I have to give them a body to fulfill those desires again. Another body has to be provided. All happens under Brahma's supervision. So every time they get the body, again they don't stop doing any demonic things. They continue doing it more and more. Vikarmam goes up. And they accumulate these karmic reactions and they continuously get crushed by the material life of cycle of birth and death and continuously suffer in this world. When they suffer, they say that I am responsible for all these things. They blame me, Brahma says. They blame me. And when they blame me, I get fed up because I have not done anything wrong. It's they themselves have created their own sin. But they don't know that they are responsible for their own fate. But they continue to complain about me to everybody. This is what Brahma has written on my head and that's what I'm going through. Like this they say. Not only everyone has criticized Brahma in this world, not only that, including the gopis have said about Brahma that he does not know how to do creation. How to create, isn't it? Because Gopi said when they were looking at Krishna, suddenly when their eyelids were closing, Gopis are saying that why this eyelid should close like this, now and then it twitches. Why should it happen? That shows that Brahma doesn't know how to create. So they have also said the same thing about me. So with all these complaints about Brahma, if you constantly complain about one person all the time, what will happen? He will resign the job, isn't it? That's what Brahma did. Brahma resigned the job. He said, I don't want this job anymore. It's only to create a bad name and everybody is unhappy with me. Why should I do this if it is like this? So Krishna says to him, that's not possible. You have to do that, he says. So Krishna won't leave it either. So Brahma says to him that these people who are here, they don't have any choice. They cannot come out of this, from this situation. They are not trying either. They get caught up in this and continuously complain about me. So we have to come to some understanding where we can stop this process, he says. I cannot accept this anymore, the way it is happening at the moment, he says to Brahma, says to Krishna. Krishna says, what do you want from me? Brahma says, we have to have some understanding that that those who are suffering in this world, they should have a way out from this. They should have a way out from this. You will see in the second canto when Brahma's complaints about it and Srishti Kramam, when the Srishti was discussed, Brahma complains about it and a new agreement between Krishna and Brahma about creation process. About Krishna. Brahma glorifies Krishna and in that very thing he says that that this process of creation, what you have involved me in this, is I cannot go on doing this. Brahma complains repeatedly to Krishna because all I am experiencing is this complaints and complaints all the time. And that is what you will see there in the, just a minute, it is in the, come to that later. Look. So, Brahma complains to Krishna and Krishna says creation must continue. Creation must continue. And that is when this agreement was signed with Krishna and Brahma, that Brahma told this, that if by somehow or the other, if they chant your holy name, at the time of death, they should be allowed to come back to the spiritual world, rather than continuing the material life. This was the agreement, basically what they have signed. And here you will notice there that the Brahma also spoke to them that Brahma was continuing creation, and Brahma is getting older as well. And sometimes Brahma is also forgotten while creation was going on. Some of them, Brahma says that once when Narada Maharshi went to see Brahma, Brahma says to him, Brahma was in a very disturbed situation. Narada Maharshi asked him, why you are disturbed? Brahma says that I made some mistakes in the creation, he said. And I haven't slept last night because of this, that I forgot to put the intelligence into somebody's head. And before that I close their head, he says, Brahma says, and I'll send them to the earth. Go and see what they are doing there, he said. They must be struggling there without any brain, he says to them. Narada Maharshi came here and he looked around and he says, actually that is the right thing you have done, he said. Without putting any intelligence, you have sent them here. And because they are the ones who seems to be happy in that world. This was the report from Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi says to Brahma, that what I have noticed is that in the world, those who are happy are those where you have forgotten to put the intelligence inside. Because in now onwards you create like that, that is the best thing. Because those who have gone there, that they seem to be very happy without any brain inside. And it is at that time, why? Because those who come here, they created ragam and dvesham inside. Ragadvesham inside. Attachment and aversion. And when Brahma's creation was like this, Krishna's creation was without any ragadvesham. That is the most important thing. Krishna was trying to show to Lord Brahma that if you want to create, create like me, that I am creating. All what you have created, they have gone there and all of them have got ragam or dvesham. Attachment and aversion in them. But in Krishna's creation, there was no ragadvesham. This, when Krishna expanded, that is why it is said that this creation which Krishna has done now is a different kind of creation than the one Lord Brahma has done. In Brahma's creation, ragadvesham naturally comes in. So, in the middle of all these things, Krishna's creation like this.
That's what it's mentioned there in the 18th verse. Tad krishnomudam kartam tanmadrinam jakasecha ubhayaidam almanam chakre vishukriti ishwaraham. Ubhayaidam almanam chakre vishukriti ishwaraham. We also create, isn't it? We also create. We are also part of this creation. So, creating ourselves into expansions in different forms. While we are in the dream state, what do? We are sleeping in one room on our own, alone. But when we are in the creation stage, when we are creating in the dream state, we expand into various forms. We expand into various forms. And we ourselves take all that forms, like Krishna has done here. And they will talk to each other, the forms what we have created, they will talk to each other. They will think also, and through them we think, isn't it? Through them we think. And the way they walk in the dream state also, they will walk. Yavad vihara adishu. And if they have got, we have got sticks in the hand, they have also got sticks in their hand. So similarly, everything, what you could see there, that Krishna is pointing out to us, Krishna is saying to Brahma, all this creation is me. Nothing exists outside me. Nothing exists outside me. So in other words, how Krishna is creating, actually it is a miniature form of that, is the dream inside us. Is the dream inside us. At least from that, from the dream state, we should know that this is how creation has happened in this world. Rather than experimenting with God particle and all other things, everything for self-realization and the knowledge is already present in this world. Deep sleep state to show to us that without body, mind, intelligence, ego, you can reach a higher state of happiness, proper happiness, ananda. With the dream state, it is showing to us how creation has happened. So therefore, sankalpa matram vishasya sasarjam. So through sankalpam, Krishna has created this universe. Krishna has no difficulty in that. Therefore, you will see there the 20th verse, what it says. Svayam atma govalsan prativari atma valsabai kridan atma viharescha sarvatma pravishad vrajam. So, Krishna did like this, and with all his expansions as cowherd boys and the calves, and controlling them in the normal way, Krishna has gone home that day to Vrindavanam, to his house. Krishna went to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and all these cowherd boys who as Krishna has expanded in that form, they all went into their respective houses. And each and every cowherd boy went and saw their father and mother. But only difference now is, it was not the original cowherd boy, it was Krishna's expansion who has gone to see them. And they went to their parents, and calves, they went to their mother who was in their cow shed. In the Goshala, the calves, who is Krishna now, they have gone into the Goshala as well. And they started living like that, in that way. They continued living like that. So there was only one difference everybody noticed. What was that difference? Do you know? That's a very interesting difference also. Normally children won't listen to the parents, isn't it? But these children were listening. And that was the greatest shock for the parents. Why they are listening everything what we say to them? And all parents were happy. Those parents whose children were not used to listening, and who is always make complaints, they were not making any more complaints about it. So they were also very happy. And that asura vasana, that demonic nature in the children, they couldn't find it. It wasn't there at all. Everything in a very divine nature. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. And not only that, because it was Chit Shakti there operating through them, whenever they touched their children, they felt extreme bliss inside. Happiness. And at the same time, when the children has gone away from home, they are feeling tremendous feeling of separation as well.
The cows, on the other hand, when they see their calf, they were in bliss. And when the calves goes away, the cows are also in miserable state. Like this, 1 year has gone. 1 year has gone. And after 1 year, then it says there, in the 36th verse, if you look, you will see there.
Kimedat adbhutam ivam vasudeva akhila alpani vrajasya salpana stogesha purvam prema vardhate. Kimetad adbhutamiva vasudeva akhila alpani vrajasya salpana stoga esha purvam prema vardhate.
Then, that just like somebody has becoming serious in Krishna consciousness and develops Krishna consciousness in the same way, their attachment to these children and attachment to the cows from the cow, all that has started increasing day by day. Their attachment started increasing day by day. Just like when bhakti develops in the heart, a trace of bhakti develops in the heart, it keeps growing, isn't it? When you get a little realization from Krishna consciousness, you don't want to leave it anymore. You only look for how to increase it, not to lose it, and how to increase it. In the same way, these cows and these parents of these cowherd boys, they were also feeling so much happiness in their association. Practically, they were associating with Krishna in that form, isn't it? That was the reason behind it, that chit shakti inside, that they felt that happiness and they did not want to separate themselves from them. But when all this gone on for a year, after a year, nobody could understand what was going on practically. But Krishna has one elder brother. His brain started working. Who? Balram. Balram started seeing something funny about the whole scene, situation. Everybody seems to be very blissful and happy. Parents are happy. Why suddenly a change like this? Balram didn't know all that, what was going on. Balram was at home and all these things happened. So Balram Swami's brain started working. After a year, he started thinking about it, Balram. There's something very fishy about this whole thing. What is it? He says, so apurvam pramavardhade. And everything is amazing, he says. Wherever you look, everyone is happy. Everywhere you look around, everybody is happy. And everybody feeling very ecstatic. Everybody feeling, not like us. Everyone feeling very happy and satisfied in life. And that's, therefore, he said, started saying like this. It was at the same time, Brahma has come back to see. By now, Brahma has gone to his Brahmalokam, Satilokam, and he had come back. So Krishna thought, then it is our 1 year, it's a day of Lord Brahma. No, sorry. Our 6 months is a day for the demigods. And another 6 months is a night for the demigods. Our 6 months is one night for the demigods. So on the same basis, Brahma also has gone to his abode and came back very straight away. Some devotees say, when he went there, his own men who are there in Satyalokam, they didn't recognize him when he went back. Because what did Krishna done? Krishna, that empty seat which was there, Brahma has come here, isn't it? Krishna gone and took that Brahma's position also there. So when Brahma went back, all those who are the bodyguards or whomever you call the watchmen who are standing in Satyalokam, they didn't let him in. They said, Brahma is already inside, who are you? They started asking this Brahma who went away. When he came, who are you? They said. So our Brahma said, I am Brahma, he says. No, you are not Brahma, he is inside there. So the dress what Krishna has taken, the Brahma's form, and he was sitting there inside, he also was acting exactly like the way the Brahma who had left. So the men who are standing outside, they had no doubt. Like Jayavijaya, Brahma also have people there standing outside. So they stopped our Brahma to going back to his Satyalokam and to his position Big position, isn't it? Brahma, big chief executive there. Imagine a chief executive loses his, when he goes one day, he hands you over your P-45 and says to you, you can go. It was a similar situation our Brahma also had. It happens, isn't it? In this world it happens all the time. You may be big man, big boss in big company. Suddenly somebody makes a decision that you are not needed anymore. And next day when you go, they give you P-45, you can go now. It's finished. The services are not needed anymore. So our Brahma was in that situation. Brahma thought that he has lost his job, actually. That's what happened. Brahma thought he has really lost his job. Only then he realized it, that what a nonsense he has done, gone and done. And he got up from there and straight away came here to see Krishna. At that time, to talk to him about it. When he came here, everything is going on as before. Nothing has changed. Not only that, he also looked, he had hidden them in the cave, and he had these Krishna's cows and calves and cows are present already here in Krishna's expansions. And he got confused, which is the original, which is the duplicate. He started getting confused about the whole thing. Is the one what I have created is the original, or the ones what Krishna has created is the original, he says here. When he looked at all of them, everything looks like Vishnu's expansions, Bhagavad Sarupam. And that's what he says there in the 61st verse. He says there that everything is Krishna's expansions, he says there. That this Brahma's, this pastime is a long pastime. Tatrodvahat Pashubhavam Shashi Shuttanatyam Brahmadvayam Paramananda Makhada Bhodam Valsan Sakini Vapura Parido Vijinvan Ekam Sabani Kabalam Parameshta Jashtam. That is a famous verse. Tatrodvahat Pashubhavam Shashi Shuttanatyam Brahmadvayam Paramananda Makhada Bhodam Valsan Sakini Vapura Parido Vijinvan Ekam Sabani Kabalam Parameshta Jashtam. So, all those verses before that is Brahma's dilemma. Brahma is running around in Vrindavanam not knowing what to do. Ultimately, in that verse 61, he says here that he was inquiring about the calves and the friends, and suddenly Krishna saw Brahma saw Krishna sitting there, and Krishna's position is what is in that verse. What is Krishna? Yatrodvahan Pashubhavam Shashishutvanatyam. That is Krishna. That he has expanded into the calves and the cowherd boys there. And Krishna is expanding. Krishna is now looking for the original ones, which Brahma has been hiding. Which original calves and cowherd boys, Krishna was inquiring them about them. Brahmadvayam Paramananda Makhada Bhodam. And what is Krishna? Paramananda Makhada Bhodam. That supreme consciousness, pure consciousness, Akhada Bhodam. Bhodam is the word used to define the soul. Bhodam. Because Bhodam is what we are, isn't it? We are actually, what are we? We are that Bhodam in us, awareness, isn't it? I am, that consciousness, all the time being aware of our existence, that is Bodham, awareness. Here it says, Paramananda Makhada Bodham. The highest depth of that consciousness is Krishna. It is from there all our Bodham has come. We have this awareness in us of our existence, existence of this creation, existence of so many things. Where is that consciousness coming from? It comes from the Paramananda Makhada Bodham, from Krishna. So that is how Krishna is addressed here. Valsan sakhi nivapura paritobi jinvan ekam sapani kabalam parameshte chashtam. Krishna was sitting there. When he left, how Krishna was there? In the same way Krishna was sitting here. In one hand, holding a morsel of food in the hand, ekam sapani kabalam parameshte chashtam. He was sitting there just like the way when Brahma left. In the same way Krishna was sitting there at the same position here now, and look, thinking about where all the cowherd boys and calves have gone. So, and that is that Purna Brahmam, complete Brahmam. Brahmadvayam Paramananda Makhada Bhodam. Brahmam, Krishna is addressed as Brahmam there. and Paramananda Maghadha Bodham, that supreme consciousness also, and that was present there. So when this happened and Brahma saw this, and at this time Brahma's false ego has started melting, it has started melting. You can't say about Lord Brahma as ego and all that, isn't it? Because why? Brahma is the head of the parampara. If we say he has false egos, we couldn't say like that. So, ordinary people, we can say it is false ego. With Brahma, we couldn't say like that. So, when there is knowledge, this knowledge, Brahma has got this creative potency, which was given to Brahma. But at the same time, Brahma is also another expansion of Krishna, isn't it? So it's very difficult to say Brahma has a false ego like us, isn't it? Like us. So when seeing Krishna's situation like this, what did Brahma do? Brahma came and paid his obeisances because he felt that he has lost his position there in the Brahmalokam. And here, he doesn't seem to think there is any problem. Everything seems to be going on well as before. And Brahma's prayers starts. That is the next chapter, 14th chapter. 14th chapter is Brahma's prayers. And Brahma started. And these prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which runs into something like 70 verses, is one of the topmost prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Topmost prayers. There are many prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I mentioned before also, Bhagavatam has got three different departments. One, the story side. Next, this prayers, glorifications. And the last one, the instruction, direct instructions. We have to move on from the story part to the glorifications to the instructions. That is the progression in the Bhagavatam. So, out of the many, instructions are not many. Particularly, the instructions are rarely you will find here and there. The topmost instruction or major instruction in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Ekadasham, Canto 11. Krishna's direct instructions to Uddhava, just like Bhagavad Gita. Topmost instruction in the Bhagavatam. After that, there are many smaller instructions at different places. Like Rishabhadev instructions to his children. That is, instructions to his 100 children. Bharata Maharshi's instructions to Rehugana. That is instruction it is. That's all instruction. And similarly, you will notice in different places in the Bhagavatam, there is this instructions part. That is what we call as the top realizations of these great souls. Krishna is talking from the spiritual platform. And also the devotees are also speaking from the purely from the spiritual platform, without any connection with the material world or Maya, simply to wake us up to the reality, it is spoken. That is the instruction. Glorification is that part of Bhagavatam where the devotees, their relationship with Krishna, how they are seeing Krishna, how they all surrender to Krishna, what made them to surrender to Krishna, and how they have accepted the truth and became realized in that way. That is this glorification is all about. And then we have got the katha, the story side of it related to that. So Brahma begins there saying that you are the big fire and I am a spark that has come out from there. Brahma says to him, so the spark is also fire, but the source is the big fire, isn't it? So you are the origin and we are just like the sparks from that. And how can we understand you? That is Brahma's words. And I played with you a little bit. I didn't deal with you in the proper way. I should have done. And he says to Krishna, the reason for that is the rajogunam in me, the mode of passion in me. And because it is from Rajogunam, false ego comes. This also we should notice. From Rajogunam inside, false ego comes. Therefore, please forgive me. And Brahma starts his prayers like that. So, this particular prayer, this glorifications of Brahma, which you will notice, in so many places, Brahma's prayers are there. Remember, First of all, Brahma praised for Krishna's appearance to happen. Then there is Garbhastuti. While in the prison, every time Krishna appears, Brahma will come and glorify and he will go back. That's what he does. So here also, when Krishna appeared in the prison house, Brahma came and glorified Krishna, which is known as Garbhastuti. Garbhastuti. While in the womb, how Krishna was glorified. And there, Brahma learned some lesson in that glorifications. Remember that? What he did there, the mistakes. So he has not forgotten that. I made all these mistakes in that time. So this time, he didn't make any such mistakes. This time, keeping all that mistakes what he did before in his mind, he spoke in a way which was completely to please Krishna. That is why bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, all three things is mixed in this prayer, 70-75 verses. Each one of them showing its beauty. And many, many devotees have studied these glorifications of Lord Brahma to a very large degree because it is one of the finest prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Finest prayers in the Brahmastuti. It's called Brahmastuti. Now, when he spoke like this, normally we say Valmiki was the Adigavi. Adigavi means first poet. In this world is Valmiki because he wrote Ramayanam, isn't it? Although we say like that, strictly speaking, Brahma is the first Kavi. First Kavi. Why? Because in the Bhagavatam itself you will see Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye. Adigavi is Brahma. Muhyandiyal Surayam. That Adigavyam was actually created by Brahma himself. Brahma is the first Kavi in this world. In this world. And therefore, Bhagavatam, when they began, they mentioned that. And here you will see that they are present here. And Krishna is, when Brahma saw, Krishna had a garland made of forest flowers and a cane in his hand, Sri Valsam. And Brahma is seeing Krishna now with the four-handed form. Conch shell, disc, lotus flower and everything. And it is him that he had come here. Brahma could see that connection with the four-handed form and Krishna who is present right in front of him. And that is why when he saw that form, how Brahma starts his prayers there. You can see that the first verse itself. Naumidyade brahmabhushe tadidambaraya gunjavadam saparibinjala sanmukhaya vanyasraje kabalavetra vishana venu lashmashriye mridupade pashubhangajaya. That is the Brahma Vacha. You can see Brahma's first verse. He says, Naumidyade brahmabhushe tadidambaraya gunjavadamsa paribinjala sanmukhaya vanyasraje kabalavetra vishana venu lakshmashraye mridupade pashubhangajaya. Glorifying Krishna's form, that bluish dark cloud, and wearing this yellow garment which was like a lightning color, and his earrings, and the peacock feather in the hair, and wearing this garland of forest flowers, and in one hand the morsel of food, then the stick, and the horn, and then the flute, all of them, vanyasraje kabalavetra vishana venu. This is how Brahma is seeing him now. Lakshmashriye mridumade pashupangajaya. And all with all these things, I pay my respectful obeisances to Nanda Maharaj's son. It says, Nanda Maharaj's son, I pay my obeisances to him. And saying that, he begins his glorifications. And at that time, I have played with you with my Maya. I tried my Maya to play with you. And first of all, ask for forgiveness for that Rajogunam. That is Rajogunam. When Rajogunam is strong in us, what happens? We won't feel respect to anything. We will not be able to respect anything. Because that ego gets so strong inside, we find it very hard to respect anybody. We find that very difficult. And not only that here, also he mentions that jnanam, only through knowledge we can get to know about Krishna. Only through, Upanishad says like that. Brahma says, Upanishad says, only through knowledge you can get to know Krishna or Krishna's true nature, true identity. That is true. But how ordinary people will get that knowledge? How will they get that realization? How will they get it? And that is why you can see this is also in the Bhagavatam when they begin. Brahma, Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the self-realization, in other words, that is happens by Krishna's mercy. Tene Brahma Hridaya, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it mentions like that. In other words, from the heart of Krishna to the heart of Brahma, the knowledge was transmitted. That is the relationship between the Guru and the disciple. From the heart of Brahma to the heart of the disciple, the knowledge was transmitted. And that is how the knowledge will be transmitted. Spiritual knowledge is meant to be transmitted in that way. So, what do they do? That is why it says here, it is a, in the verse if you look, the 14th chapter, 3rd verse. Yane prayasam udabhasya namandam evam jivandi sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthida shudigadam taniwang manobhir ye prayesho jida jido prasidai strilokyam. Now, this is a very difficult verse, difficult in the sense, this verse has caused a lot of misunderstanding also. We'll tell you why. The verse is saying, Yane prayasam udabhasyana mandyameva jivandi sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam shudigadam tanuvang manobir ye prayesho jida jido prasidai trilokyam. It says here, this is the spiritual secret. This verse is the spiritual secret. So, whoever thinks, I have to get it, I have to get it. In other words, who keeps on thinking, then I have to get Krishna, I have to get Krishna, he will not get it. He will not get it. And those who think, I have got it, he also won't get it. He also won't get it. There is a famous creation by Tirumula, and in that book you will see Tirumula talking about in a very nice way. He says there that give up all desires, give up all desires, even give up the desire of getting Krishna, he says. Even give up the desire of getting Krishna. I mean, to such an extent, when the desires go away from inside, or in other words, sometimes we have the desire to free ourselves, to get ourselves free from this material existence, material body. Even that existence, that desire also, we have to give up. We have to give up at some point. So, he says, when I have given up all desires, including the desire to get out of this material body, then I started getting the realization. Because so long as there is desire inside, no matter what kind of desire it is, as long as there is desire inside, that will stand as on the way of receiving Krishna's mercy. That's the way it works. That's what it Akhandana Saraswati says about this. He says, those who think that I have to get it, I have to get it, he won't get it. Those who think that I have got it, he also won't get it. But those who think I won't get it and keep on in this world, continuing with spiritual life, they will get it. That's how spiritual life works. This is their opinion about that. And So what normally devotees do is that I have to acquire knowledge, I have to acquire realization, I have to get liberation, and this way different things, desires inside, I have to get it, I have to get it. It keeps on and on, but if you leave that grip on those things, that means this process of acquiring knowledge, which is a very difficult process as well. Acquiring knowledge means not just studying books, huh? That is not acquiring knowledge. Acquiring knowledge means after hearing and hearing the Shastram so long time, then the real process of acquiring knowledge begins. That is when you start your own realizations building up inside. And to get that realizations inside and building on that is acquiring knowledge. That is the most difficult part. There are so many great learned people in this world. Very learned. They know all the Shastram and they have studied very well. But they have no interest for self-realization, or they don't even believe that it is possible to have it. They don't believe in that. But they are studying. They are the ones who goes and becomes all these professors and take up jobs in the institutions. It is those people. They have no faith. They just know everything. They have studied all the books. They'll tell you exactly the words which Shastram, all the Puranas, Upanishads, Itihasam, Bharatam, Ramayanam, Vedam, everything they have studied. But they just don't have the faith in them. That it works. They are just saying that we have studied all these things, but at the same time they have no faith in anything. And they don't believe that self-realization is possible even. There are many people like that. In many top universities and all, they teach Shastram to others. And if you learn from them, you will never develop any faith either by hearing from them. So that is what is mentioned here. This difficult process, because they have studied Shastram, but they have not applied that into their own life. That is where the difficulty comes. So what happens is, they engage in all kinds of debates, logics, everything. But Krishna is here, Brahma is saying, those who have gone in that path, it will be difficult for them, because what they have studied, they kept it all on the side. They kept it aside. And what they did, yani praya samudabhasya namandameva, namandi eva jivandi. They live in this world. How do they live in this world? Namanda means they are personalities that they live very quiet without getting too involved in this world. Knowing very, they have such a strong faith in them, they know that if I follow this process, one day Krishna will show the mercy. If you get that strong faith inside, then they are not too concerned what goes on in this world. That is the meaning of that verse. It is not saying that cultivating spiritual knowledge is wrong. What he's saying is that after cultivation of knowledge, if we do not surrender to Krishna, that knowledge may not happen to you. It may not come to you. That is what the point is indicating. It is not saying, but often what do we say? We say, oh, this path of knowledge is all nonsense. We are devotees, we are surrendered, and we will get everything. It's not like that. That knowledge does help, but at the same time, with the knowledge should not become a matter of pride later. Knowledge should be kept to the side. Jnane prayasam udabhasyana mandameva jivandilosan mukharidam bhavadiya vartam stane sthidam shudigadam tanivang manober e prayashojida jido pasidai trilokyam. What they have done is, jnane prayasam udabhasyana mandameva, that they have understood that it is not possible by my effort alone to realize the truth. They studied Shastram, but by studying Shastram, that has made them to surrender to Krishna. For others, they have studied Shastram, it has simply become a matter for their livelihood in this world. That is the difference. Those who have accepted Shastram in all honesty and sincerity, accepted it as that is the truth, and surrendered to Krishna by studying Shastram. Others have studied Shastram, but they never wanted to surrender to Krishna. That is the difference between the two. Jivandi sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartham. So, just like this great acharya, sometimes among the great acharyas and the sannyasis also, some of them will become madhadivadi. Madhadivadi means they will have a mutt to run or a temple to run, and they will get caught up in all kinds of wheelings and dealings in this world. Once you start a mutt or temple and everything, then you have a lot of problem there. You have to keep it going, isn't it? That means you need to get money. And if you want to get money, then you have to go and ask so many people about it. So all these things becomes problems, because sometimes it takes you away from the truth. But these were saying to us, some of them, without bothering for anything in this world, quietly they live in one place, and in the complete surrender to Krishna, they realize that sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartham namanda eva jivandi. They live in this world always in that surrendered consciousness, surrendered state. Wherever gets an opportunity, they go hear about Krishna. In this way, they live their life in this world. And whenever they hear from great devotees or from great mahatmas who have got Krishna consciousness from them, and great yanis, what they are experiencing when they talk about it, when it comes through their words, they drink that and they live happily in this world. And wherever they are situated, they live there. And with the body, they pay their obeisances to Krishna. With their words, they glorify Krishna. With their ears, they hear about Krishna. And with their mind, they meditate upon Krishna. So, they are not thinking that in future sometime, they are not thinking that we will come get to see Krishna one day. They are not even thinking that. Already they are experiencing Krishna right at this moment, because they have not cultivated any desire inside. To such an extent, they are surrendered to Krishna. That is the purity of that force. So, they have no desire even that they want to see Krishna one day. There is only a very, very small difference between them and the realized soul and the real soul. As soon as you keep on saying that, I am doing my sadhana, what it means is there is a thing called sadhyam. Sadhana leads to sadhyam. Sadhyam is the goal. Sadhana is the process. Isn't it? Sadhana is the process. So I keep saying that I am doing sadhana now, and one day sadhyam is going to come. Now what has happened is, these people who are living like this, what they have done is, they kept thrown away sadhana, and they took the sadhyam and kept it in their life. All along they are busy with the sadhyam, not with the sadhana. They are not thinking anymore, I have something to get later. In spiritual life, that's the most difficult thing also. Most of us who are practicing spiritual life for some time, we keep thinking one day it's going to happen. One day Krishna is going to appear. One day we are going to go back home, back to spiritual world. So something is going to happen sometime later. With that concept, we are working now. I'm working towards that, as we say. But spiritual life doesn't happen in that way. That is the point Brahma is making there. Through that verse, that is the very essence of that verse. That yane prayasam udabhasya namandameva jivandisan mukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam shrutigadam tanivang manobir ye prayashojita jido asidhe trilokyam. Brahma is saying that they have developed jnanam with a lot of difficulty. They have cultivated, studied shastram with a lot of difficulty. Jnane prayasam. But after studying shastram, they understood that shastram alone cannot help. Shastram alone cannot help. That is when their attention has turned into surrender. Attention turned to surrender. And what did they do? They didn't make any noise or sound in this world. Very quietly, they lived their life wherever they are, in whichever situation they were in. Namandameva jivandi, always living a life of surrender. Always living a life of surrender without desiring anything inside. Jivandesan and jivandesan mukharidam bhavadiya vartam. And whenever they had an opportunity to hear about Krishna from realized personalities or great souls, mahalmas, they took that opportunity to hear about Krishna. Jivandesan mukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam. They always were where they were. They didn't make any endeavor to achieve something in this world. That means even to achieve something in this world, they have given up that desire even. So they kept the sadhyam or the goal in the front, and just like you can see in the bull, when you extract oil in the olden days, they have this bull walking around, isn't it? They put this, what do they call that, yoke on the neck. And the bull will walk for some time. And when the bull is walking, there is a big stone which is going around in the pit, and it will extract the oil. It will grind that the seeds, oil seeds, and from there oil is extracted. Before, we have this electricity and motors and everything. Now if we have electric mills for extracting oil from the oil seeds, all oils, everything, coconut and sesame and everything, all oil extraction is a big industry, isn't it? Vegetable oils extractions, mustard seed, all of them. So in the past, what they used to do, they had this extraction business in this way. In the villages, they have this pit where they put all the seeds, and the bull will walk around that. The yoke is on the bull's head. So initially, you have to beat the bull to walk. He'll walk for a while. But afterwards, they found out this technique that you tie something from its horns, you tie something a foot in the front of the head of the bull, a nice grass or something which bulls like to eat. And the bull is thinking that I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it, and keeps on walking, thinking that I'm going to get it. This sadhana and sadhyam is like that. We are thinking that it's going to happen, get it. And we keep on doing sadhana, And at the end of the life, you ask him, have you got it? He says, no, I'll get it after dying. So in this concept, you keep on doing that. So that's what it mentions here. You have kept it at a distance, isn't it? And that distance will always remain for the bull. In the same way, in sadhana also, is like that to some. We have not given up any of our desires. And desires are very strong inside, and I keep on doing this. But when we come to know that it is not something that's going to happen in that way, you will give up the desires. And you will start really living that spiritual life. What's that spiritual life? Complete surrender to Krishna. That is spiritual life. More than any other sadhana, that is bhakti. That is surrender, is bhakti. But mistakenly, we think so many other things. Because our karmi mind, that's what we have to say. Our karmi mind has trained us to think that only if you do something, you will get it. Is it not? That is how we have made this firm decision inside us. That I have to do, I have to execute a lot of devotional service, and it's after that it's going to happen one day. In this way we are thinking, and we keep on doing, endless doing, and nothing happens at the end. Just like the bull around extracting the oil in the same way. So Krishna, here, this is that verse is trying to tell us, not by your knowledge, not by your realization anything can happen, but by surrender it will happen. By surrender, it will happen. Jnane prayasam udavasyana mandameva jivandisan mukarido bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam shudhikadam tanivang manubir e prayesho chidachido pasade trilokyam. So that verse, that is the spiritual secret in that verse. It should not be interpreted in any other way to say that, oh, jnanam process is wrong, only bhakti process is right. All other process cannot do it, only bhakti. Any process you take in spiritual life, they are all difficult. We say chanting is the easiest process. Has everybody become a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting? How many years are people are chanting? 40 years, 50 years. So every process has its own difficulties also. It's not that any process is easier. Although we may say like this, those who are cultivating Jnana Margam, they will say, no, bhakti process and all, not for me, they will say. Jnana Margam suits me better. So similarly, there is Karma Margam also. Those who are addicted to Karma Yogam, they follow that path. Whatever process it is, in this particular verse, Brahma is saying to Krishna in this way. We'll discuss it after 15-20 minutes. Our glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Jnane praya samudabhasya namandameva jivandi san mukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam shudhigadam tanivang manobir e prayesho jidajido pasidai trilokyam. That devotee is talking about jivandi san mukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam. Then all that devotee, Brahma is saying here, his desire is that knowledge has helped him, but at the same time, he knows that very well, that jnane prayasam udabhasya namandameva jivandi. Namandameva jivandi. But living in that surrendered state or surrendered consciousness is more important. And they are always, and in some form, they keep in touch with Krishna. Who? These devotees. How? Either through the Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna's Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. So through Srimad Bhagavatam, they keep contact with Krishna. Or through chanting the holy name, they keep contact with Krishna. under any circumstances, they will not lose their contact with Krishna. That is the most important thing. And continuously, they live a life in this world, always enjoying Krishna. Always enjoying Krishna. And once that becomes very deep-rooted in a person, one who's a devotee who has taken Krishna consciousness in that way, he, after his death, without any problem, he goes back to Krishna. Because he has trained himself in this world, while here, he has trained himself how to be a devotee. How to be a devotee, which means, a devotee means what? That is what he is saying here. That he has not cultivated all desires he has given up in him, including the desire for self-realization or including the desire for going back home, back to God. Even that desire he has given up. Right now, here, he has started practicing his spiritual position. So, such people who have already has to understood that they have got it, they don't have to get it anything, and without any claim to anything, without any more trace of false ego inside, in solitude they execute their spiritual life, and that is why it says there that he prayesho ajida jide, he prayesho jida jido pasidai trilokyam. So Krishna is ajita. Ajita means nobody can win over him. Nobody can win over him. And that is why it mentions here that in one pastime, that is that Yashoda's pastime, Damodara Leela, what did they say? That you can do any sadhana, but at the end, that 2 inch will be short. The 2 inch will be short. You can perform yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, all of that. But, or you can also sing all the, that is through the yoga margam. Yama niyama asana pranayam ashtanga yogam. Yoga margam, you can do all that. Or you can engage in the glorifying through bhajana or sankirtanam, all that things. You can try that also. You can also engage through the process of knowledge, cultivating spiritual knowledge, and engage in debates and discussions. And still, all these three ultimately say that they didn't get it. They didn't get it. What did they not get it? What was the reason? The reason reason that they didn't get it was, they were thinking that there was something that they have to get it. It was the vastu or the object, they were thinking they are going to get it. They were thinking it is something that they have to get it from somewhere. Just like in front of that bull, how they have tied the grass, and made the hay, and made the bull to wander around in the same way they were running around. So long as there is desire inside, there will be life for the mind. Mind will be there. Mind is dependent on desires, isn't it? When you analyze the mind, you can see sangalpa vikalpam mana. Sangalpa vikalpam mana. As long as you have this thing called mind, experience of the soul is not possible. Atma anubhavam. Atma-sakshalkaram or will not happen. And therefore, wherever one sits, wherever one lives, in whatever condition Krishna has put one into this world, staying in that situation and executing spiritual life without any complaints about anything, completely surrendered to Krishna, that is called Bhagavata Dharmam. That is called Bhagavata Dharmam. And you are not changing anything there, and Bhagavata Dharmam is like that. Bhagavata Dharmam is like that. They do not even give up their household or life and move to sannyasa ashram, or deliberately they don't get involved in household or life either. What that is the proper devotee's consciousness. Whether it is in household or life, thinking that sannyasa ashram is going to make me a better devotee, or to think that by becoming a householder I can execute spiritual life better. All this is not applied to them. So, just like the cat, wherever Krishna has put you in, you sit there. And whatever situation you are in, you don't say any complaint about that. Whether you are a rich man or a poor, if you are a poor man, you are a poor man. If you are a rich man person, you are a rich person. Whatever job you are doing that job. That's all. Jivandisan mukharidam bhavadiya vartam. That is what it means. Jivandisan mukharidam bhavadiya vartam.
sthane sthitam shrutigatam. That even in that situation, because they are focused on Krishna, they automatically, Krishna is in their heart all the time. Inside there, or always hearing about Krishna. And through the taste of their bhakti-rasam, bhakti-rasam means what? Bhakti, it is easy to say, what is bhakti, isn't it? When will bhakti come? Krishna says, when will bhakti come? Bhagavad Gita says that, isn't it? Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na shojani na kamshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param. That is when bhakti comes. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na shojati na kamshadi. That verse is very clear. Na shojati na kamshadi. When you have no hankering after anything, no desire after anything, and when there is no lamentation inside, na shochadi, shochadi means lamentation, kankshadi means to desire something. Na shochadi, na kankshadi. There is no desire, there is no lamentation. That is the state of where bhakti will develop. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na shochadi na kankshadi. And then samasarveshu bhudeshu. One has no desire, and one who is not lamenting in this world, very easily he can develop this samasarveshu bhudeshu. Samasarveshu bhudeshu, equally placed with all living entities in this world. Mad bhaktim labhade param. Krishna says, it is then that you will have bhakti. Para bhakti will happen at that time, at that stage. Actually, strictly speaking, when one's consciousness is pure, chittam, chitta shuddhi happens, and self-realization happens, at that point bhakti will be continuous. Continuous bhakti will happen. In strictly speaking, jnanam and bhakti are not two different things. Jnanam and bhakti are not two different things. Actually, the culmination or the completion of knowledge is bhakti. Completion of knowledge is bhakti. In bhakti, if one is continuously absorbed in the happiness of the experience of the soul, almarati, it is called, or ananda anubhavam, that is what is bhakti. In bhakti process, we chant the holy name, and and at the same time, all other processes are difficult. In the bhakti process is easier because you can start bhakti process with chanting the holy name of Krishna. So, all other processes is difficult in the beginning, but at the end it is, and at the end it is the nectar. It is, the nectar is at the end. And but in bhakti process, beginning is nectar and at the end is also very nectar. It is also very nectar. So it means amula hridyaha. From beginning to end it is happiness. And not that in the beginning it is bitter and later on it becomes happiness. So with this bhakti one is able to see Krishna's form inside, chant the holy name and to surrender. And normally when we execute sadhana, we do it through our strength, isn't it? Depending on a person's strength, he engages in sadhana. You know that very well. Sometimes some devotees, they've got a lot of willpower inside. So those who have got a lot of willpower, they can chant a lot because they got the strength in them. And those who don't have that willpower, they can chant, say, one round, two round, four rounds, whatever it is. And eventually we settle, let's say, 16 rounds. And that's how we fix it. Because otherwise what will happen is, one day when your willpower is very strong, you will see 64, you will chant 64. Next day there is no willpower, you may not even chant one round. Better than that is chant every day a certain number of rounds, minimum rounds, 16 rounds or whatever, that is fixed. So, sadhana, you can see there itself, it depends on your strength. It depends on your strength. But when you start realizing that it's not by your effort that it is happening, and it's not that I'm going to achieve something, and without any false ego inside, fully realizing that Krishna is performing that sadhana through me. And if you surrender to Krishna in that way, that is the greatest relief. When we chant Hare Krishna, not depending on our own ego or our own willpower or strength, willpower is another form of the ego.
Will power is also another form of ego, nothing else. So when you don't depend on all that, simply in a surrendered state to Krishna, when the chanting of the holy name happens through us, because it is Krishna's mercy that Krishna is allowing me to chant in this way, if you take like that, that will be a great, that is proper sadhana. That is proper sadhana. Example is given like that. A person is traveling in a train. When he boarded the train, he had a huge suitcase with him. Huge suitcase with him. And that suitcase, he was holding that with him and he got into the train. After getting into the train, he is keeping the suitcase still on his head. Somebody asked him, why you do that? He says, well, at least the train is carrying me. Train is carrying me. I don't want to put all the responsibility on the train. I'll carry the suitcase myself. Saying this, he is keeping the suitcase to himself. But then somebody told him, you leave suitcase also with the train. Train will take care of it. If you do like that, if you accept it that way, that everything in this world is happening under Krishna's control. Everything in happening in my material life or spiritual life, whatever that is happening, that is also under Krishna's control. In that state of consciousness, if chanting goes on in our life, that chanting, that means not being particular about anything. That Krishna is managing, Krishna is doing, running the show. And without being particular about, I want to do this or that, and want to do like this or that way, and if I am not here, it will not happen. If I did not do it, this is not going to happen. All this is are different forms of that false ego inside. Instead, if we completely unload that false ego into the train, like that passenger has done, and sit freely without being disturbed by anything what is going on, and hand over the weight onto Krishna's shoulders, if you do that, and peacefully engage in the simply as a tool or like a little child in the control of the parents, if we do like that under Krishna's control, if we live like that, like a servant or a devotee, if we do like that, Krishna is saying here, that is, he will develop all the necessary qualifications for self-realization. It will happen to him in a natural way, And he is already liberated. That is liberated state. When a person reaches that state, that is the liberated state. One who surrenders like that, immediately he is in the liberated state. Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Often you will see in conversations with Srila Prabhupada also, people talking about this. Prabhupada used to answer that self-realization, it only takes 1 second, he says. Provided this state has happened to anybody, then he is already in a self-realized state. But then, therefore he says, Sakshalkaram or Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Sharanagati means all this. That complete dissolution of the false ego inside. Complete dissolution of the false ego inside. Immediately at that moment, he will experience that self-realization. That is the glory of bhakti. That's the glory of bhakti. That Visharupa Darshanam, the universal form, Krishna showed it to Arjuna. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, how is it possible? How is it possible? The question was asked, isn't it? Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, how can one see this universal form? Anybody wants to see this universal form? How is that possible? You look at Krishna's reply in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at it, you will see what reply Krishna has given. How to see Bhagavad Gita. How to see the universal form. Krishna is saying there, Naham Veder Natabasa. There is a verse there at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. You will see a verse. Naham Veder Natabasa. Nadadena Nachejaya. Shakyameva Vido Drishtam Drishtava Nasimam Yatham. Naham Vederna Tapasa, that is at the 11th, 53. Yeah. Naham Vederna Tapasa, Nadanena Nachejaya, Shakyevam Vido Drishtam, Drishtava Nasimam Yatham. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Naham Vederna Tapasa, the form which you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas. Nor by undergoing severe penances, serious penances. nor by charity, nor by worship.
Naham vederna tapasa, na danena, na jejjaya, shakyevam vido drishtam, drishtavanasimam yatha.
It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. One can see me as I am. This seeing me as I am means self-realization. That means self-realization. He's saying there, that is the way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that naham vederna tapasa na danena na chejjaya shakyeva vido drishtam drishtavanasimam yatham bhaktyartho nanvaya shakya ahamevam vidho arjuna yadam drishtam chadatvena praveshtam cha parantavam.
Only by bhaktyartho nanvaya shakya ahamevam vidho arjuna,
you can understand Krishna only in that way, through bhakti, parabhakti. Parabhakti, that is what is mentioned there. It is parabhakti that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, not the sadhana bhakti. Not the sadhana bhakti. So, here also you will see that bhakti is the, when through bhakti, parabhakti will happen. Bhakti means parabhakti. Prakrita bhakti, that means sadhana bhakti, is what is that? Going to the temple and only seeing Krishna in the temple and only worshipping Krishna in the temple. In due course of time, this prakrita bhakti, or this prakrita means something which is very, not very refined, very coarse, very, very impure bhakti. That bhakti, in course of time, it will purify one, it will purify inside, and it will develop into madhyama bhakti. It will come to the middle stage. When middle stage, when that happens, initially prakrita bhakti stages, you will only go to the temple. And you will worship the deity, you will see the deity, and you will do some sadhana which you think is suits your nature, and then you will go. It is only when you move on a little bit higher to the middle, madhyama platform, middle level, that naturally you will start experiencing a happiness in the association of devotees. In the association of devotees. That is the symptom of that. And similarly, at the same time, hearing about Krishna also becomes somewhat of a taste. Some taste develops for hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And you also develop a kind of kripa. Kripa means mercy towards those who haven't developed any bhakti in life. Who haven't developed any bhakti in life. And similarly, those who are against bhakti, you also feel indifference towards them. Indifference towards them. And even though all these things are there, gradually the knowledge of the soul will start working from inside. That is why in the Bhagavatam, you remember how the three categories of devotees were spoken. In the Bhagavatam, it is based on this principle in the Bhagavatam that these three categories were spoken. If you look in the 11th canto, you will see there that in the second chapter, Kavi Maharshi spoke about that. He mentions there that the Hari Maharshi says there. He says the three categories he has spoken there. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavama Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyalma, verse 45 in the second chapter, canto 11. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavama Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyalma Esha Bhagavadotamam. First class devotee. First class devotee is like that. In all living entities, Krishna's presence, recognizing that, and never and realizing the presence of the soul everywhere, presence of the soul everywhere, and that one soul, and who is different than his own soul. He is known different from there. And all living entities, he relate with them in that level, in that platform. That is first class devotee. Second class, Ishvare tadadhineshu, balisheshu, dishat sucha, premam, maitri, kripa, ubeksha. Ya karoti sa madhyama. Madhyamam, or middle class devotee, what does he do? He discriminate. He discriminate. What is the discrimination? Ishwareta dadhineshu. Those who are surrendered devotees, then those who are critical of the devotees, envious of the devotees, and those who are innocent, who doesn't know anything about it. All sorts of people in this world, he separates them all out, filters them like that. Those who are devotees, those who are demons, and those who are envious of the devotees, and those who are innocent, who don't know anything about spiritual life. All them exist in this world, isn't it? So therefore, what he does is, Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Towards Krishna, he has love. Towards Krishna, he is developing love. Towards devotees, he has friendship. And towards ignorant people, innocent people, he has Kripa. And those who are envious towards him, he has Upeksha. In other words, he actually completely indifferent to them, stays away from them. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Ya karoti sa madhyama. They are all madhyama level, in the middle level. Then, the Prakrita Bhaktan, who has started spiritual life, beginning with he visits the temple first. Archayameva haraye. He thinking that this deity worship is only the spiritual life. That is his biggest concept in his head. He thinks that deity and deity worship, that's the only spiritual life. Everything else is nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with them either. That's his mood or attitude. Sometimes you see people like that. They will only stay around the deity. They won't move an inch outside from there. Every time when you look at them, they'll be around there. And they can't move out from there. Because if they move outside, they'll fall. They're frightened about falling down. They say, oh, why go and mix with the karmis? Why go outside in the world? Prabhupada said the temple is Vaikuntha, so we'll stay inside here and live our life in our own way. That kind of fear all the time inside. If I go out, I'll fall down. That's always there. There'll always people like that. So that's what is, and they will stay in that forever. Archayameva haraye, until what they are doing there also becomes pure. If it's pure Krishna consciousness practice, then there is a possibility they'll move away from there. Archayameva haraye, pujayam shadaye hate. That all the time their attention is on the puja. Puja, puja. Pujam ya shradaye hade na tad bhakteshu janyeshu sabhakta pravirdas pradaham. And when they see the devotees, they look down upon them, thinking that, oh, he is not doing, what is he doing? He comes once in a way to the temple. What does he know? And looking down upon others, thinking that, oh, he is not doing any service at the temple. He is not doing any service to the deity. So he must be in a very lower level, must be absorbed in Maya. And we make some comments like that and we go. So that is the third category. Nadan bhakteshu janyeshu sabhakta prakrita smrita. He is a prakrita bhakta. He has just started in the very prakrita level. He is in that state. So, and then after saying all these three verses, Hari Maharshi said again one more thing. He says, Grihitvam indriyairarthan yonadveshti nahrishyadi Vishnor mayamidam pashyan savai bhagavadottama. He is a first class devotee who doesn't show any interest in this maya, what is going on here. And when there is Grihitvam indriyairarthan, whether senses are getting gratified or not, whether his senses gets gratification or not, without getting upset about anything, and seeing very well that this whole creation is nothing but Krishna's Yogamaya, Yogamaya's manifestation this is, knowing very well, Grihitvabi Indriyai Rathan, when the senses he gets gratified or not, either way, Yona Dveshti Nakhrishyadi, he doesn't complain. What does he say? Vishnor Mayamidam Pashyan. This whole, this whatever I am seeing here in this creation is nothing but Vishnu's Maya, Krishna's Maya. Savai Bhagavadottama. He is first class devotee. Says he is first class devotee. Then one or two more verses about a first class devotee. Dehendriya Pranam Anodhiyam Manodhiyam Yo. Janma payachur bhayadarshakrachai samsara dharmai avimuhyamana
स्मृत्या हरेर् भागवत प्रधाना देहेन्द्रिय प्राण मनोधियाम यो
ड्यू टू कॉन्स्टेंट रिमेंबरेंस ऑफ कृष्ण एंड सीरियसनेस इन दैट स्टेट बॉडी सेंसेस माइंड इंटेलिजेंस ऑल देयर एक्टिविटीज ही डजंट कंट्रोल देम एनीमोर एंड नेवर वंस ही गेट्स डिस्टर्ब्ड ओवर एनीथिंग फॉर एग्जांपल अबाउट टेकिंग बर्थ देयर व्हेन ऑल दीज थिंग्स संसार धर्मम दिस इज कॉल्ड षडूर्मी Shadurmi means there is six kinds of waves, very strong, powerful waves that is pushing us in this world. Six waves. One, hunger and thirst, bodily demand, isn't it? Then old age and death, old age and death. Then hankering and lamentation. This is without even our knowledge, it is shaking us from inside. That's why it is called Urmi. Urmi means it's a powerful wave that's hitting from inside. Shad Urmi, six Urmis. Hunger and thirst. When it hits you, you forget everything, isn't it? You can see yourself how easily we get pulled by that. These six things. Hunger and thirst. Then similarly, hankering and lamentation. There also we have no control. When something goes seriously wrong, we start thinking, lament about that, isn't it? I wish I haven't done that, I haven't done this, I wish I had done something else and it would have got somewhat better. And that is lamentation. Knowing very well it's all happening under Krishna's control and to leave it to Krishna what has happened, that we cannot do. Without our knowledge, it will pop up inside. That is lamentation. And hankering, sometimes some desires builds up inside. Till you get it, you won't give it up. You go after that at any cost, isn't it? That kind of powerful desires building up inside, that is hankering. So, six things, hunger and thirst, hankering and lamentation, and finally, old age and death. Jara and Maranam. How is that? Jara and Maranam happens. Jara, old age, no control over it, isn't it? When it comes. Overnight, one day when you get up, you look in the mirror, whole hair has gone grey and the skin has started slowly showing its color and start realizing that you are not young anymore. You have become an old person. And similarly, death, that fear of death is also inside constantly disturbing us. We try to close our eyes towards death. That's what all of us do. We think when it comes, we'll see. Why worry about it now, we say. Is it not? So that is our normal approach towards death, all of us. So when it comes, we'll see at that time, what's the point in worrying about it now, we say. So these six things, they are called Shadurmi. And that, samsara dharmai avimuhyamana, he says there, that he will not get disturbed over these things. He will not get disturbed over things. There were many, many great devotees like that. Very, very learned and very realized, but they lived like this. They won't worry about their food, where is the prasadam? At 1 o'clock, whether it's prasadam there or not. No. At 1 o'clock, they will walk out from the house. Or when they are hungry, they'll go out. And they will ask somebody to give some food. If somebody gives it, they will take it. If nobody gives it, they'll fast. That kind of relationship. That is their approach towards eating is concerned. Never making any plans as far as food is concerned. Whatever that comes on the way, they will accept it and satisfied with it. That is a way to win over this Shadurmi. That's what they are saying. Shadurmi. What they are talking about. Dehendriya pranamanodhiyam yo janmapayakshur. And in that process what happens sometimes when you are like that in this world, other people will offend you, insult you. Why don't you go and get a job? Why don't you make some money and earn a proper living instead of begging? They will start very offensively. They will speak to you. So at that time the mind has to be not to get agitated. That's also very difficult, isn't it? So, control of the body, control of the mind. Very, very difficult thing. And then hunger and thirst. From inside, at the same time, you're feeling hunger and thirst as well. So, hunger and thirst, hungering and lamentation, and this old age and death. All these things, Shadurmi, one, he has escaped from that. Who? First class devotee. He is not disturbed by any of those things. Samsara dharmai avimuhyamanam smrityahare bhagavata pradhanaha. Then, next verse.
ന കാമ കർമ്മ ബീജാനാം യസ്യ ചേതസി സംഭവ വാസുദേവൈക നിലയ സവൈ ഭാഗവതോത്തമം.
Na kama karma bijanam, whatever work he does in this world, it does not create any more karma vasana inside. That means he won't have anything what he performs here is karma yoga. Without any tinge of, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and not creating any more new vasanas inside. Na kama, that is what that means. Kama karma bijam. Na kama karma bijanam means no more vasanas created inside. Yasya chedasi sambhavaham. That no vasanas inside, and there is no place for any fruitive activities inside. In that way, Vasudeva Iganilaya Savai Bhagavadottamam, and completely dependent on Krishna. That means totally surrendered to Krishna, his life.
Na yasya janma karma abhyam na varnashrama jadibi sajjadesmin aham bhavo dehevai sahare priyam. Na yasya janma karma abhyam na varnashrama jadibi na yasya janma karma abhyam janmam karmam. They don't have any more importance in their life. They don't have any more importance. Na yasya janma karma abhyam. Na yasya janma karma abhyam. Na varnashrama jadibhi. Neither they have any importance for varnashrama dharma. Even that they have crossed beyond that. Varnashrama dharma is in a particular level only. Varnam ashramam, those things are not disturbing him anymore. Sajadesmin aham bhavo dehevai sahare priyam. Then, because there is no false ego anymore inside, because only when the false ego leaves us, all these things will happen.
Na yasya swaha para itti vitvesha alpani vabhida sarva bhuda samashanda savai bhagavadottamam.
He does not see this world as the wealth belongs to one person or the other. Everything is Krishna's wealth. That's the way they see it.
Na yasya soha paraha idi vityushalpani vabhida.
He does not separate. This is my property, this is your property. This is my bank, that's bank account, your bank account. All that things have gone away from him.
Sarvabhuta samashanda. He is always equally placed towards all other living entities. Such a devotee.
And all the other next three verses also is also about the first class devotee.
So there three kinds of devotees were spoken, and the two classes Hari Maharshi spoke in very briefly. That is the second and third class. But about the first class, he managed to explain about, he spoke about them in detail.
You can read that. Tribhuvana Vibhava Hedavepya Akuntam Smritir Ajidalpa Sudadibir Vimurgyar Na Chaladi Bhagavad Padaravindam Leva Nimishartam Abhi Yasa Vaishnavagnyam ഭഗവത ഗുരു വിക്രമാംഗ്രി ശാഖാനഖമണി ചന്ദ്രികയാ നിരസ്തതാപേ ഹൃദി കഥം ഉപസീതതാം പുനഃസ പ്രഭവതി ചന്ദ്രമിവോദിതർക്കഥാഭാം വിസൃജതി ഹൃദയം നയസ്യ സാക്ഷാൽ ഹരിരവശാഭിഹിതോപ്യ അഘോഘനാശം പ്രണയരശനയാ ധൃതാംഗ്രി പത്മം സഭവതി ഭവതി ഭാഗവത പ്രധാന ഉക്താഹം.
സോ ഭാഗവതം, ഭാഗവതം മീൻസ് ഫസ്റ്റ് ക്ലാസ് ഡിവോട്ടി. He mentions their qualifications there, and after saying that, in the Brahma Sutra, Brahma talks about here that the first class devotee's qualities are like that, he says, and he also mentions here that this complete destruction of this false ego creates that experience. So from Madhyama Bhakti, one comes to this this state, Sarvabhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Mahatmana. And when that first class devotion develops in a heart, at that stage, if when he has reached that state of pure bhakti, even at that time, if he gives up everything and comes to study, cultivating spiritual knowledge, it will not be possible for him to develop spiritual realization. That is what it's saying there, that if to such a degree bhakti has developed inside the heart, for him there is no necessity to cultivate that spiritual knowledge anymore. In that way, it will not be necessary for him to do that. And that is why, that's what you read in that fourth verse, that if you have, because in the last verse spoke about jnanam, isn't it? You can see what Brahma says in the fourth verse. If a person Instead of doing that, if he simply engages in cultivation of knowledge, studying Shastram, but without the surrender. You can see how Jnanam and Bhakti are linked together. Jnanam without Bhakti is incomplete. Bhakti also on its own cannot stand. Proper Bhakti cannot develop without Jnanam. That's why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuda Prasanna Alma, Brahmabhuda state, after that Parabhakti happens, he says. Isn't it? So they are so interdependent. Bhakti and Jnanam are so interdependent. But here you can see in the next verse, in the verse 3, Brahma spoke about Jnanam. That you cultivate knowledge, Jnane Prayasam Udavasya Namanda Meva. But that Jnani, what does he do? Jivandi san namandam eva jivandi. He lives a life of surrender. He lives a life of, with a lot of effort, he has cultivated knowledge of the soul, but then he lives a life of surrender. Jivandi san mukharidam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthidam chudigadam tani vangmane obeyam. And then after that his life is full of surrender. Always hearing about Krishna, engaged in chanting the holy name, engaged in the worship of the deity, and completely absorbed, because the powerful knowledge from inside is pushing him to go in that direction. That is the strength of knowledge at that time. So that Brahma has discussed in that verse. Immediately after that, in the next verse, he is saying, Shreya Srudim Bhakti Mudasya Devi Bho Klishyandiye Kevala Bhoda Labdhaye Teshamasau Kleshalameva Shishyade Nanyadhyadastu Vilatushavakadhinam Shreyasrudim Bhakti Mudasya Devibho Klishyandiye Kevala Bhoda Labdhaye Teshamasau Kleshalameva Shishyade Nanyadhyadastu Vilatushavakadhinam. That is an important statement from Brahma. Brahma is saying here that if he has developed that surrender in him, if he has surrendered to Krishna, everything will come to him. Even the knowledge, if he is lacking somewhere, that will also be given to him by Krishna's mercy, Krishna's grace. That is the beauty of bhakti. Bhakti will help, even if there is something lacking in a person from the aspect of knowledge, that will also be taken care of. So, if you simply give up this process of surrender or bhakti and think that cultivation of knowledge alone is the goal of life and endeavor in that direction, Brahma is saying here, it is like you are pounding the husk to get the substance from that. Already when you grind rice, the grain comes out and then the husk is left. If you keep on pounding that husk, nothing will happen. Nothing will come out. There is nothing there left to come out. So Brahma is saying here that Teshamasau Kleshalameva Shishyade Nanyadhyada Stuladushavakadhinam. It is that for them, ultimately, or what that is left behind is the effort. Only the effort there. That's all. What is the profit? Only that you have done a lot of work, that is the profit. Nothing will happen. No change will happen. That is what Brahma is saying there to Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam, all this when you read, you should not think Brahma is insulting knowledge. It is not Jnananinda. It's not offending Jnani. Or saying that Jnanam is not required. In order to have Jnanam, first of all, Chittam Shuddhi, Chittam. Inside it should be pure. It should be pure. Otherwise, it will not happen. Jnanam cannot develop unless there is purification of one's own existence. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this, that that Abhayasat, so many things he mentions. In the 13th chapter, when the knowledge was spoken about, he says, all these things are necessary, Arjuna, before we were talking about knowledge. What is that? Purification of one's existence. Sattva Samshuddhi, Krishna calls it. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. If you want to be situated in Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, Sattva Samshuddhi is important. Without Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti is not possible. That is why Krishna has kept it side by side. I think it is 13th or 14th chapter. probably 13th, I think. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi. The first verse, I think it is the 13th. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vivastiti, Dhanam, Dhamascha, Yascha, Swadhyaya, Stava, Arjavam, Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham, all those things. Divine and Demonic Nature. That's the 16th chapter, sorry. 16th chapter begins with that. You see that first two words, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi, together. And then Jnana Yoga Vivastiti. He says, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vivastiti. So Jnana Yoga Vivastiti is dependent on Sattva Samshuddhi. This is the 26 qualities of a devotee. We talk about that, isn't it? 26 qualities of a devotee. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vivastiti. That Jnana Yoga Vivastiti is Sattva Samshuddhi. Without Sattva Samshuddhi, it won't happen. It won't happen. So, Jnana Yoga Vivastiti. So therefore, it is not in any way, Brahma is not, because sometimes we misunderstand it like that. We think, oh, Jnanam, what Jnanam? Jnanam is all useless. We reject it like that, isn't it? So that is not what is intended there. What's not meant like that? Jnanam is valuable. It is necessary also. But it is not insulting Jnanam. But because in order to have Jnanam, there should be Chitta Shuddhi inside. Why? Because otherwise, you see, we say knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is something what you acquire with the mind and intelligence. Jnanam is not acquired with mind and intelligence. Jnanam is acquired by realization. So that is why. And realization won't come till there is Chitta Shuddhi. You can study all the books, but realization won't come till there is Chitta Shuddhi inside. That is why it is mentioned like that.
Yathartyaltanmaya seva himamana vibho vastuto bandhamoksho maya vidyam tanubhyam tavad virajidau supna bhoto pamauto. Badhe jivad vimuktim gadavadeja vidhata vadita vadego punkte dehadramasto vishaya phalarasan naparo nurvyathalma.
There is a verse in the Narayaniyam which talks about from the Bhagavadam, summary of a particular verses in the Bhagavadam. In Bhagavadam, if you look in the 11th chapter, in the 11th canto, there are two verses. What is the difference between a liberated person and a person in bondage, conditioned soul? What is the difference? The Uddhava asked that question. Answer to that, Krishna is saying, Adha baddhasya muktasya vailakshanyam vadamide. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna says like that, I'll tell you about the difference between a person who is in bondage and who is liberated. It says like that. Virudha dharmayo sthada and sthitayo eka dharmini. That is the important part. Inside us, there are two birds we talk about, isn't it? Jivatma and the Paramatma. Paramatma or Krishna, who is always liberated state, he is there. Jivatma is always in the conditioned state. How come, Uddhava's question was, these two who are different by nature, how come they stay inside one body? And how can they live like that? Because both of them are opposing each other, isn't it? How is that possible? Viruddha dharmayo, their dharma is different. Both act in two different ways. Jivatma wants to enjoy. Jivatma has false ego. Jivatma has kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Jivatma has ragadvesham. And Jivatma is always looking for enjoyment. Whereas Paramatma inside, he doesn't have kartrutva bhoktrutvam, he doesn't have ragadvesham, he has no desire to enjoy anything, and he is simply a witness to everything. These two birds, how come they are sitting in one tree, this body, and how can they function together? Are they not fighting each other? This is the question. So, viruddha dharmayo sthara sthitayo eka dharmini. And that is why the Bhagavadam it says, Suparna vedo sadrishav sakhayo yadrachayedo kritamidauja vrakshe egastayo khadati vipalannam anyo niranno vibalena bhuyan. This is when we discussed in the 11th chapter of the 11th canto, 5th and 6th verse.
those two verses spoke about this. And that is where this discussion came. And in the same thing in the Upanishads also.
Dvasayurna suparna saija sakaya samana vriksham parishasva jade tayoranyam pippalaswadvatti anashtana nyom abhijaga shiti.
That is how in the Upanishads that verses have come. So, how will this contradiction be resolved inside in a person? When the conditioned soul, jiva, when he gets liberated, he loses his jiva bhavam or this conditioned nature. Isn't it? In order that to happen, purification of one's existence is important. Purification of one's existence is important. That purification process is one karma yoga. Karma yoga is one of that processes. And the other one is process is the what Krishna calls it as the cultivation of the knowledge and at the same time absorbed in the sadhana bhakti process. Sadhana bhakti process associated with karma yoga will develop into chitta shuddhi. And in that, when there is chitta shuddhi, purification of one's existence, then Krishna is saying, abhaya satta samshuddhi, then jnana yoga vivasthiti. This knowledge will, this jnanam will manifest in that person's heart. That is why how it is. Yadhartyal tanmayas, in the Bhagavadam, it is like that. And the same time, when it came to Narayaniyam, Melpathur spoke to Krishna like this. Yadhartyal tanmayas sevahina vibho vastudo bandhamoksho. Strictly speaking, Krishna, there is no such thing called bondage. There is no such thing called liberation either. They don't exist. Why do they exist? Why do we say it exists? Maya vidyam tanubhyam. Strictly speaking, for me, I have no bondage nor liberation. If one is liberated, he can say like that, isn't it? There is no such thing called bondage or liberation. Who has the bondage and who has the liberation? It's all for the false ego, jiva, not for the soul. That is what it's mentioned here. Maya vidya tanubhyam tavat virajidau supna bhodo bhamautom. That maya vidyam tanubhyam. Maya has got these two potencies, vidya and avidya. Vidya and avidya. When we are under the control of vidya, you feel you are in liberated state. When you are in the control of avidya, you feel that means through two powerful, subtle bodies, Sushma Shariram and Karana Shariram, and in the how Sushma Shariram and Karana Shariram puts us into that state, isn't it? In the Sushma Shariram, in the dream state, you lose the gross body. But there you are bound by the subtle body. In the Karana Shariram, you lost your body and the mind, there you are bound by the ignorance. So Karana Shariram and Sushma Shariram is that state, that avidya in two different ways. Sushma Shariram, you are controlled by the dream body. In Karana Shariram, you are controlled by the ignorance surrounding us. Either of them will allow you to realize your pure identity as the soul. So that's it. Maya vidyam tanubhyam tavatu virajidau sopna bhodo bhamauto. Maya vidyam tanubhyam virajidau sopna bhodo bhamauto. But why do we feel like that? That because of this subtle body and the causal body, Karana Shariram, we are not unable to cross that boundary into the boundary of the our pure spiritual identity. Gross body is in the vacant state. When you go into the dream state, gross body is gone. But still, the subtle body is holding us back in the dream body, in the dream state. You exist in the dream state. And then, again, if you go into the next Sushupti state, there also you can't escape from there. Why? The subtle causal body or avidya, that is holding you back. So that is what he says here. Maya vidyam tanubhyam tavadu virajidau sopna bhodho bhamautau badde jivad vimuktim gadavadi chamida tavadi tavadego. This is the only difference between a person who is in bondage and who is liberated. Bhate jivad vimuktim gadavadi chamita tavadi tavadego. There is no other difference. Why? Bhumte deha drumastho വിഷയഫലരസാൻ നാപരോ നിർവ്യഥാത്മാ.
One person is sitting on the tree of this body and is gratifying his senses. And the other one who is liberated person, he has started experiencing the happiness of the soul, Brahmanandam, Anubhuti. Because of that, he is not getting any happiness from the fruits of the tree. Therefore, he is not bound. So, when the false ego completely gets destroyed, we lose our identity as Jivatma. And then from then on, it is Bande Jivadvimuktim. You got freedom from the Jiva state. Bande Jivadvimuktim. Gatavati Chabida Tavadi Tavadeko. Bhunte Dehadrumastom. Vishaya Phalarasan Naparo Nurvyathalma. He has lost his taste for sense gratification. Who? This Jivanmukta person. He has come to the realization that his identity as the soul does not require any sense gratification. So his freedom from sense enjoyment has happened to him, and therefore bhunkte dehadramasto is not looking for any more sense gratification in that body. Vishaya phalarasan naparo nirvyathalpam. He is not experiencing them anymore, and therefore he is not bound either. That is how it is. Maya avidyam tanubhyam viramidau. That avidya danu. That avidya inside us, avidya means that ignorance inside us, creates these three bodies. Which one? Vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. It makes us think this is dream. It makes us think it is deep sleep. It makes us think this is vacant state. But they are eating, these two birds are eating the fruits. One doesn't eat any fruits. The other one, and without eating fruits, it remains as a witness. That is the only difference. That is the only difference. And the same thing in the next verse. Jivan, this is a Jivanmukta state talked about.
Jivanmuktattvam evam vidhamidhi vachasa kimbhanam duradhure tannama ashuddha buddher najalikhu manasa shodhanam bhakti donyal tanme vishno krishishta toi kritasakalam prarpanam bhakti bharam yenasyam mangshu kinjil guru vachanamilam tulprabhoda tvadalma. Jivan muktattvam evam.
If you study shastram, you will know what jivan mukti means. That means liberation while remaining inside this body. What does that mean? And Jivan Mukti, one wants to achieve that while remaining inside this body. Itself, the remaining here itself, the liberation must happen while within this body. But how to do that? How to get to that state? That requires a purified consciousness, intelligence. Chittashuddhi must be there. What is not there? Because Chittashuddhi is not there, every time we are trying to get to understand the soul and self-realization, it doesn't happen. Because there is no chitta-shuddhi inside. So, therefore, unable to conduct alpa-vicharam or tattva-vicharam, whichever way we call it, to analyze the spiritual life and to come to firm decisions, it is not happening inside us. Not only that, our vasanas are also giving us trouble. Different kind of vasanas inside. Added to that, there is ragadvesham inside. And the mind is constantly getting bulldozed by all these things. The mind is also not stable to perform anything spiritual. So, such an intelligence, such a person who has no purity inside, he will not understand when he hears Upanishads. He will not understand when he hears Upanishads. And he doesn't have the maturity to engage in Vedanta Vicharam, how to engage in the analysis of the soul. He is not ready for that. So, in that state, what should one do? That is what Mahapatur is saying there.
Jivan mittattvam evam vidhamidhi vajasa kimbalam duradhure tannama ashuddha buddher naja leghumanasa shodhanam bhakti donyan.
For him, there is only one option. What is that? To engage in bhakti. To engage in bhakti, which means what? Continuously surrender to Krishna. By constant surrender to Krishna, he says here that because of bhakti, inside it will get purified. And when, how will that bhakti will be executed? Continuous remembrance of Krishna. And that will lead into Jivan Mukti, liberation from this. So that is what is spoken. In the, you will see in Shivandalahari also this verse comes out that Kanjil Kalamuva Mahesha Bhavada Padaravinda Archane Kanjil Dhyana Samadhi Vishchanadhibi Kanjil Katha Karnane Kanjil Kanjida Vekshaneshchanudhibi Kanjil Dashami Drisham Yapratno Dimuda Tudarpidamana Jivan Samuktakhalu. Shivandalahari is a famous sotram talking about how execution of bhakti happens. Kanjil Kalamume Umamahesha Bhavada Padaravindarchanehi. Sometimes offering flowers. If you are a devotee of Shiva, you offer flowers to Shiva and Parvati. If you are a devotee of Krishna, you offer flowers to Krishna. Constantly, Padaravindarchanehi. Constantly offering flowers to Krishna's lotus feet. Kanjil Dhyana Samadhi Vishchanadhibi. Kanjil Kathakarnane. Sometimes remembering about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and feeling a state of samadhi. Nadhibi kanjil katha karnane. Constantly sometimes hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and absorbed in that. Kanjil kanjida vekshaneshchanudhibi kanjil dasha medrishim. Sometimes each always trying to see Krishna in other living entities and absorbed in that way. Kanjil dasha medrishim. Jivan samukta khalu. A person who has surrendered like that, how constantly surrendering to Krishna, how that will happen to him. Sometimes he gets up, and when he gets up in the morning, first thing he sits in the bed and remembers Krishna for a few minutes. Then after getting up, he goes and after performing all his morning rituals like bathing and all other business, always in remembrance of Krishna, that he has this execution of bhakti in his mind. After doing all that, wherever Krishna's deity is there, he goes there and pays his obeisances there. And then he, after bathing, he glorified Krishna by singing Mangalarati or any other prayers to Krishna. Then he engages in some meditation, but always remembering of Krishna, always remembrance of Krishna, samadhi state. And then when he has got time, he gone into satsangam and heard about Krishna. Went into great temples and engaged whenever he got time and saw Krishna in those temples. And eventually in the evening hours, he read Srimad Bhagavatam and heard himself and spoke to others. Like this, from morning to night, chanting the holy name, meditation and continuously absorbed in the discussion about the Shastram, satsangam, traveling to holy places and seeing Krishna's presence in the great temples. All of these different activities of bhakti he is constantly executing. For such a person, without allowing the mind any time to enter into loka vyavaharam, that means not allowing the mind any of the topics of this world, if he continues a lifestyle like this, that is Bhagavata Sampradayam. And if he lives like that, he is already liberated. He is already liberated. For him, there is no more connection with this world. Because only if you give time, Maya will get you. If you don't give time to Maya, Maya cannot get you. That is the principle. So without giving any time for Maya to get you, he lives in this world in that way. He lives in this world in that way. That's why it's mentioned here. Jivan muktattvam evam vidamidi vajasa kimbhalam dura dure tannama ashuddha buddherna cha lagumanasa shodhanam bhakti donyal tanme vishnu krishishta tvai krita sakalam prarpanam bhakti bharam yenasyam mankshu kinjal guru vachanam ilam tulprabodha tudalma. In the so that is the bhakti process. Krishna has spoken about that here. He is a liberated soul. So that bhakti will, in course of time, will purify our conscious chittam, consciousness. And when the mind is very pure, completely purified, and you cannot say anymore, call it as mind anymore. It is not mind anymore. Devotee, a pure devotee's mind is not the mind. It's not anymore a mind. Just like you can't say Krishna's mind as a mind. Mind means, mind it is actually Hladini Shakti. Phladini Samvit potencies are there. It is practically Chit Shakti that is coming there. It's not mind anymore. Mind means, actually mind has come from Chit Shakti, no doubt. But the nature of the mind is, while it is within this body, it creates Sangalpa Vikalpam, isn't it? Sangalpa Vikalpam, it creates. It creates Sangalpa Vikalpam, various kinds of thoughts, one way or the other. When it does that, Chittavritti increases, or due to our engaging in karmam, that increases Chittavritti, Rajogunam, Chittavritti increases. All those things, false ego develops, all this is are the effect of the mind. But for a devotee who has lived this life and who is liberated while he is within this body, he is called a Jivan Mukta, already liberated person. He is not affected by any of this. So, somebody took a devotee to see the tide in the ocean. You know, when the tide happens, high tide and low tide in the ocean. So people go to watch that, how it happens in the sea. So when the high tide happens, sometimes you will see the river flowing in the opposite direction because of the powerful tide from the sea. And sometimes you will see when there is a low tide, the river flowing more forcefully into the sea. So what happens is that when the ocean moves into the river and start coming up, which is high tide, and the similarly Paramatma gets into the Jivalpa and starts functioning inside the Jivalpa. There, and devotee's mind is like that. Devotee's mind is like that. You can't say anymore, call it as a mind, because constantly this high tide that is coming from the Paramatma is influencing his Jivalpa, and his mind cannot have any power to do anything of its own. It loses its strength because it's completely under the control of the Paramatma. So instead, my devotee's mind is like that. There won't be any emotions in that way, but actually what you experience there is the Chit Vilasam. Chit Vilasam means the direct potency of the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti manifesting there. But instead, if you give up this bhakti and simply study Shastram, only Shastram, and start getting involved in arguments and logic, or trying to capture the truth simply by intelligence alone, then in an intellectual level, you may get some clarity on an intellectual level, but anubhuti won't be there. Experience won't be there. Anubhuti how will come? Anubhuti won't come to such a person. Anubhuti and intellectual realization is two different things. That is what is mentioned here. So you will see here that this Krishna's point here is that Krishna's point is here that Jivan Mukta state, the bhakti of a person purifies him to that state, that all the necessary realizations, that is what is called knowledge here, that realization will come to him. Because very easily in a purified consciousness, purified heart, spiritual knowledge can manifest. Very easily it can manifest. So, but if he has only intellectualized everything through intelligence, if he has studied Shastram, on an intellectual level he may have got the clarity, but he will still stand there, how will I get the realization? Just like in the case of Rahugana. You remember Rahugana, what happened to him? Rahugana had all the knowledge of the Shastram, but he had no realization. So that is when he spoke to King Bharata, isn't it? And Bharata sorted him out at the later. So that is what it is mentioned here, that Namandi Jivandi San Mukharidam Bhavadiya Vartam Jnane Prayasam Udavasana Mandameva Jivandi San Mukharidam Bhavadiya Vartam. What does Bhavadiya Vartam means? That is another interesting word in that verse. Bhavadiya Vartam means all Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is all Bhavadiya Varta. Bhavadiya Varta. Upanishad is Bhagavadiya Varta. Because It is Bhavadi. Bhavadiya Vartha means report about you, about Krishna. Report about you. That is Bhavadiya Vartha. Vartha means news. Eh? Vartha means news. All the news related to you. What is that news? Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all that. So when we hear that, namanda eva jeevandi, jnane prayasa mudavasya namande meva jeevandi, sanmukharidam bhavadiya vartham. He hear all the shastram in a very happy state of mind, It's because the main component in cultivation of bhakti is shravanam, hearing. And while hearing itself, he starts experiencing that. And who experience in that way, and for them, that what they are hearing will become Swanibhuti. Swanibhuti means his own realizations, it will turn out. And instead, if you take that away, that Swanibhuti experience of the self or the knowledge of the self, if you take it away, and if you try to capture Brahman or the Absolute Truth on an intellectual level, he says here, Stula Tushava Ghadhinam. That is what he says here. Shreyasrudim Bhakti Mudasya Devipo Klishyandiye Kevala Bhodalabdhaye Teshamaso Kleshalameva Shishyade Nanyadhyada Stula Tushava Ghadhinam. It is just like grinding the husk. You are not getting anything from there. Anything get from there. Then he says there, after that, Puroha Bhuman, this is Brahma's prayers. Pureha Bhuman Bahavobi Yoginam, Tadarpideha Nijagarmalabdaya, Vibuddha Bhakteiva Kadhovanidaya, Prabedi Renjo Chudate Gadimparam. Pureha Bhuman Bahavobi Yoginam. So there are many people, Brahma says to Krishna, there are many people in this world, you can see, including Sri Narada Maharshi did this mistake in the beginning. You know what they are talking about. What is that mistake? Narada Maharshi first studied Shastram. In his early days, he studied Shastram with his intelligence. With his intelligence, he studied Shastram. All the Vedas, everything. All the Vedas, he learned how to recite all the four Vedas completely. Then he goes to Sanat Kumara Maharshi and says to him that I am only a Shabdavit. Shabdavit means you got only the sound with you. All Vedas, people when they study Veda, they, as I mentioned yesterday, that they learn how to chant the Veda without knowing the meaning of the Vedic hymns. Very difficult to know Vedas, the actual real meaning if you ask somebody, it's very difficult. Even highly learned people are completely lost in interpreting the Veda, in giving the precise what is actually meant by those Vedic hymns. They find it very hard. But simply by chanting the Vedic hymns, you can get purified. That is why all the young boys are selected. They know very well, they won't understand anything what is spoken. They don't have any capacity to understand that. But they are trained how to chant it correctly, chant the Vedic hymns properly. So they chant the Vedic hymns without knowing the meaning. The rest of their life they will be chanting like that. They will be 70, 80 years old. They will still be chanting the Vedic hymns. But they don't know the meaning of it. They are not... Those who know the meaning, for them is the one who really know it, isn't it? Otherwise they are called Shabdavit. They only know the sound part of it. What is the correct way to recite those hymns? Sri Narada Maharshi was in that situation. Narada Maharshi goes to Sanat Kumara Maharshi and says to him, I am only a Shabdavit. I don't know the meaning. I only know the sound, how to recite that correctly. But I don't know the essence. Therefore, I am not satisfied. Narada Maharshi says to Sanat Kumara Maharshi, and where will I get complete satisfaction? And Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to him that complete satisfaction, he says to Narada Maharshi, will never come from alpam. Alpam means limited things. From limited things, you can never get alpas na alpe sukham asti. Na bhumave sukham na alpe sukham asti. This is one of the mantram in the Chandogya Upanishad. If you read that, simply read that verse, Bhumave Sukham Na Alpe Sukhamasti. Narada Maharshi says to, in Chandogya Upanishad, he says to, Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi's question was, I have studied all the Vedam, I am a Shabdavit, but I have no realization. Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to him, Bhumave Sukham Na Alpe Sukhamasti. That's all, the reply. In 2-3 words, they could communicate everything what they want to say. And they forced Narada Maharshi to think, what does this statement mean? Bhumavai Sukham Na Alpe Sukhamasti. Na Alpe Sukhamasti. In Alpam, there is no Sukham. In limited things, there cannot be any happiness. And if you get any happiness from a limited thing, that will also be limited. That will also be limited. Then he asked him, what is this Bhumav? Bhumavai Sukham. Narada Maharshi asked him, Na vyat pashyandi, na anya shranodi, na anya vijanadi, na anya jigradi, tad bhumo bhai amrtam. Where you don't see anything else, that means talking about the absolute truth, the soul. Where you do not see anything separated from that, where you don't see anything separated from you, that means your identification with the truth, complete identification of the truth. And where you do not hear anything separately from the soul, as far as Sanat Kumara Maharshi is concerned, only soul exists. What you see here is all transformation from the soul. From the soul everything has come. From the soul everything has come. This is the same thing what Prabhupada has put it in this book, life comes from life. Life is the main factor. The soul is the main thing. Everything comes from that. And nothing separate. And he also, he does not see anything separately from the soul. He doesn't smell anything separately from the soul. He doesn't taste anything separately from the soul. He doesn't touch anything separately from the soul. In other words, these five things are the functions of the senses, isn't it? Sensual functions are there. But all these sensual functions, that is all limited. That is the point. Any function, any activity, what is happening through the senses is limited. Sanat Kumara Maharshi saying to Narada Maharshi, Bhumavai Sukham Na Alpe Sukhamasti. That means, whatever you have acquired, Shabdam, all the sound, it's all through the senses you have acquired that. There cannot be happiness there. Bhumavai Sukham Na Alpe Sukhamasti. In Alpam, limited one, there cannot be happiness. Limited means, anything that is acquired through the senses, there cannot be any happiness. So, whereas, that's all, there cannot be any complete happiness there. Anandada, unlimited, is the soul. Soul's unlimited existence, their happiness is complete. Happiness means anandam. Anandam is complete. In Alpam, you won't get the complete happiness. In unlimited vastu, ananda vastu, ananda vastu is the soul. Get hold of that. Get hold of that. And that is why how Krishna has got the name as Ananta. Remember the word Ananta? Ananda, we say. It's another name of Lord Balaram also. That name has come from this Bhumavai Sugam Na Alpame Sugamasti. From that word has come this word Ananta. Ananta means unlimited. There is no end to Bhumavai Sugam. Another name for Krishna is Bhuma. Bhuma means unlimited. So, that Bhumave Sugam, Na Alpe Sukhamasti, it is that Bhuma, Brahma is referring in that verse. Pureha Bhuman, Krishna is addressed as Bhuma. See that word Bhuma? Pureha Bhuman, Bhavo Biyoginam, Tadarpideha Nijagarma Laddhaya, Vibuddha Bhakteiva Kathomanidaya, Prabedirenjo Chudate Gadim Param. See that? Bhuman. You can see, simply you don't call Krishna something, Bhuma or something, whatever. Not like the way we give the names to people now, nowadays. But there, every name behind that, there is a powerful meaning behind it. That means, it's a spiritual terminology, that Bhuma. Bhuma vai sukham na alpe sukhamasti. Sanat Kumara Maharshi said this to Narada Maharshi. It is that Bhuma where Brahma has taken here and used it here. Pureva Bhuman, Pureha Bhuman Bhavobi Yoginam, Stadarpideho Nijagar Malabdhaya, Vibuddhya Bhakteiva Kathobani Daya, Prabedi Renjo Chudate Gatim Param. That is how is mentioned here. So you can see here that many, many yogis, they completely surrender their mind to Krishna and they purify their karma, and devotees eventually they purify their karma also. How? Nija karma labdhaya. They did only what was necessary. What was necessary in the world. There are some devotees, they did not give up their karma. They continue to do their karma. Even if they come to a state where they cannot do karma, still they will continue to do karma. There are devotees like that. Some devotees, they have got their karma purified, attraction for karma has gone away from inside and they have left this world in that way. That is one group. They left everything and gone away from this world. As long as we have attraction for karma, we will engage in karma, isn't it? We will engage in, that means as long as karma vasana is inside, we will be absorbed in karma. We will be absorbed in karma. But in some instances, karma vasana is all gone from inside and then you have no more attraction for karma in this world. You start realizing what is there to be done here. A stage will come, can come like that to devotees. But nija karma labdhayam, he says there, pure habuman bhavagavobi yoginam nijarpidoho nijagarma labdhayam, that after surrendering to Krishna, because of their constant surrender to Krishna, attraction for karma has left them. Karma has left them. But there are other devotees who even after realization and surrender and Krishna consciousness to very high state, karma has not left them. Karma has not left them. Because even though they are not in a position to do karma, still they will continue to do karma. You know, there are examples like that in the Bhagavadam. One of the best example is Tukaram. Tukaram had lost all interest in family life, in karma, business, everything, and went to the forest, and he was absorbed constantly in singing the glories of Krishna. Glorifying Krishna was the only thing what he enjoyed in life, nothing else. Total dedication, totally committed and absorbed in that. But still, due to circumstances, wife was there, children were there, he has to open the shop. He had a shop. Tukaram had a shop to run. Imagine Tukaram had to do that business. And he did that till the last day he left this world. And that business never made any profit. Which you can imagine very well. When the shop was open, people will come. He'll tell them, take whatever you want and go. He says, don't bother me. So people came and his wife was in trouble. She was constantly saying, if you do business like this, what will happen? Now what will happen? This is what will happen. So he has reached that state. What can he do? What can he do? But so Tukaram was like that. And he also, wife will always constantly shout at him and abuse him for this. But Krishna made sure always they had sufficient to live in this world. That they didn't take notice of. Wife could not take notice of that. She thought that if Tukaram doesn't do the business, how are we going to live in this world? That was, everybody knew that Tukaram doesn't know how to do business. All the people will come and stand in the shop to buy things. And Tukaram is busy chanting the holy name. He was doing Sankirtan there in the shop, chanting and dancing inside his own shop. He was doing that. And Tukaram used to tell them that this is my duty. My duty is not business, he says. My duty is Sankirtan. And he was absorbed in the Kirtan. And always absorbed in Pandurangam. So that is what his main occupation was, to keeping the mind absorbed in Krishna. There is no other work, he says. What will happen? Will the business run at that way? People will come. And sometimes some people will say to Tukaram, in our house we have got so many problems. We are really in trouble. We are in difficulty. If you can give us some atta or rice, it will be much help to us. He says, we'll give it back to you later, sometime. We'll say like that. So Tukaram will tell them, you take whatever you want now, and you can give, return it to me whenever you feel like. If you give money to somebody, lend like this, will anything come back after that? So, and Tukaram will get absorbed and he'll forget everything that he has lent so much something to somebody. Even that he has forgotten. So, but at the same time, if it is like that, will he give up everything and take sannyas? No. He's ready for sannyasam, isn't it? This person, Tukaram, is ready for sannyas. If you look at his life, he's completely a fit candidate for sannyasam. No interest in this world, totally finished with this world. But he won't do it. He won't do it. Why? He won't give up the karma. He is so stuck in that karma. And if the karma leaves them and goes away, it's not bad. But here karma has not completely left them. But karma has left them, but he has not left karma. That is the kind of situation what he is in at this moment. So then what he does is, whatever karma is happening through him, he will do it without any expectation of results or without any ownership. He just thinks that Krishna has put me into this grocery shop. I'm sitting here and I'm not to bother what happens, and he continues his karma in that way. Although for us it is difficult to perceive that, isn't it, in our present state. But higher level of Krishna consciousness can take you away from the world of karma completely. And still if any karma happens through us, it will be purely karma, without a karma yogam. It will be karma yogam. So Tukaram had never thought anything it is his, anything in this world. When he could not run the shop anymore, but the wife told him a lot and started abusing him. And what she used to do, that Tukaram's business was in flop, everything was a floppy. And then what she did was, she started going to work in others' houses and earn something. And she will bring something home and run the house in that way. And sometimes she will give him some money to help in the business. And Tukaram used to give that also in charity to somebody. And his wife always used to yell at him and abuse him. But no matter how much she abused him, she loved him. This is another side of that her personality. That, and she will look after him like it's a supreme personality of Godhead. Such a way she used to look after him. And sometimes she will say, you are not responsible for that. It's all that black boy standing in that temple. He's causing this problem for you. It's not your fault. She will abuse Krishna. And sometimes she will abuse Tukaram also. But Tukaram never used to care. He used to continue his sankirtan and kirtanam at the home happily. One day it so happened, he could not do anymore. He decided that all the shop has to close down. And he decided to do some work, look for some work outside. At that time, a devotee came and told Tukaram, he was a businessman, and he told Tukaram, if you can come and stay in my garden, it's a big field he had, and he was growing vegetables there, and if you just stay there as a watchman, all right, and to look after that garden, and I will look after you and maintain you, everything will be given, he said. And so Tukaram took up that responsibility. So at that time, in the garden, different animals will come to eat the vegetables and the grains that he was growing in his field. Animals used to come to eat the vegetables and the grains. So when they come, he is supposed to drive them away, but he couldn't do it. He has reached that stage. He is saying it is Krishna's property. Why should I stop them from eating? To such an extent he is disconnected with this world. Never thought anything is his. It's all Krishna's. If it's all Krishna's, has everybody got the right to eat that as well? That was his logic. Completely seeing from a spiritual level. And not only that, when the cows came to eat, he was happy. He used to pluck the fruits and give it to them to eat. He was given the responsibility to look after the garden, fruit garden, vegetable garden. And when the animals came, he was supposed to drive them away. Instead, he used to pluck the fruits and vegetables and give it to the cows to eat. So, Tukaram says, when they come, I don't think of them that they are come to steal anything. I think they've got a right to eat. And I just feel that Krishna is coming through that cow's form. That is how he was seeing those animals. Krishna has come to eat. How can I say no to them? This is Tukaram's state of consciousness. Imagine that. So, Krishna has come. He is taking what he wants and he is going. Why should I do anything or say anything to them? He says. And ultimately, everything was gone in the garden. There was no vegetable left. The man who appointed him to look after the garden, he came one day. And he said to Tukaram, Tukaram, I did the greatest mistake in my life by giving you this job. You are a useless person. I should have never given this work to you. You have put me into such a state. Where is all the sugarcane? Because they were growing sugarcane. Where is all the wheat? He says. So Tukaram answers, Krishna has come and taken away everything away. Tukaram's answer. He says, Krishna has taken away everything, he says. Again he abused him a lot and says that in the village in those days, what they call panchayat. Panchayat means the leading members of the village, they have a meeting together. That's called panchayat. Like today we have these councils and all, similarly a system existed at that time. So in the panchayat what they do, they call all the top people. Top people are the leading villagers, some few members. And they form this committee. And the committee will make the decision if there is a problem among the members in the community. A sort of arrangement like that. And so this person said, we have to call the panchayat committee meeting to decide what punishment should be given to Tukaram. So he said that, he said in the panchayat meeting started. So our man, this person who employed Tukaram and who was very upset about everything, he made the claim in the panchayat that I have lost so much money from the garden, I have lost so much money from the vegetables and fruits. As a compensation to that, Tukaram should sell his house, sell whatever property he has got and pay me from that, he says. So, and he gave it in writing. So, everything is a loss, he said. So, but when they all decided to go back and look at Tukaram's, the land where they were, where the fruits were grown, vegetables were grown, there was 100 times more than what was originally lost. They've seen in the garden. Tukaram was not surprised at all. Tukaram says that's also Krishna's property. And this person who owned the land, he immediately learned a lesson from this, that offending a devotee like Tukaram will end up in such, and that was a good lesson for him to learn. And when he learned that, he started apologizing to Krishna for what he has done to Tukaram, because he has abused Tukaram quite a bit. And what he did was, he took very little from there and brought everything and delivered at Tukaram's house. All that was in the garden. It was delivered at Tukaram's house. And that devotee, that businessman, he also became a devotee later. And when he delivered this, Tukaram's wife was very happy. But Tukaram won't accept it. Tukaram's wife's name was Jijabai. Jijabai was very happy. But Tukaram was not happy. Tukaram says, why should we accept that? He says, so it is the first time Tukaram has brought something home. Till now, the whole business, what Tukaram has done, was a loss, loss, loss. Every year, Tukaram has made only loss. And whatever Jijabai has brought home, even that Tukaram has wasted, spent and wasted. The first time something has come home in Tukaram's account. And here Tukaram says, oh no, 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 we should not have that either. This is Tukaram. So when he said like that, and it was a lot. It was a lot. And she was very happy, because when she was coming back from working somewhere whole day, when she was coming home, four bullock carts, full load of carts, full of wheat was there at home. And somebody, this businessman has donated this. But Tukaram says here that if I accept this, I don't think I'll be very happy. I'll forget Krishna. It is Krishna's property, let Krishna keep. Why should I take from Krishna anything? And this is their mood, such devotees. Even if they live in householder life, there will be no attachment to anything. They don't take any pleasure in possessing anything in this world. Even though they are in householder life, even in the middle of all the wealth, they will never think anything belongs to them. Anything belongs to them. Vasudevaika nilayam. That is, in that verse you will see the word Vasudevaika nilayam. So, now at this time, Tukaram has taken everything and handed over to others again. Sarvam mitham achyudanarum idam. Everything Krishna is creating, and Krishna is enjoying everything, sitting in everybody's heart. This is Tukaram's mood. Tukaram saying, everything is Krishna's property. And Krishna is enjoying all the property, sitting in everybody's heart. Why should I get involved in that? To such an extent, that Krishna consciousness. You can see, when you hear all these things, how difficult Vyavaharam becomes in this world, isn't it? Vyavaharam is all based on me and mine. Otherwise, Vyavaharam is not possible. But how these devotees, how did they develop this bhakti? None of them have studied Shastram, you have to remember. Tukaram and all has never studied Shastram. These series of devotees, like Tukaram, Namadev, all of them, they appeared at a time, beginning was, it was Janishwar. From Janishwar came this parampara. Interestingly, in order to uphold this pure devotion of these great devotees, they were given birth in different families. One of them was a cobbler, one of them was a grocer, one of them was a weaver who weave clothes, one of them was a smithy, one of them was a potter. So in different communities they took birth. None of them had any opportunity to study Shastra. But they were all great devotees. As far as bhakti is concerned, you can't even go anywhere near to their bhakti. It was such a higher state of bhakti, higher degree of realization as well. That is what he says here. Through, for them, how did they become devotees? That is what is mentioned here. Vibuddhya bhakteiva kathovanidhaya prapedirenjo chudate gadim param. Simply hearing about Krishna, they became devotees. Vibuddhya bhakteiva kathovanidhaya. Kathovanidhaya. Simply by hearing Bhagavadam, that they were all on the top of that. All of them. Tukaram, Namadev, and Janishwar, Ekanath Swami, Gaurakumbha, they were all the different people, many great personalities. This is one thing they never gave up, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It is from Bhagavatam that they got this concept very strongly embedded inside. Obviously, they had the good vasanas inside, but from Srimad Bhagavatam, they understood that Krishna is the person who maintains everyone. Krishna is protecting everybody, and that firm faith in Krishna's protection and surrender to Krishna, that has made them such devotees. Such devotees. So, while they did not take sannyas, they didn't do anything in this world, while very busy in the householder life, but they went back to the spiritual world. Went back to the spiritual world. They became, in other words, they reached God Krishna. So, although realized the soul, the interesting thing here is, if you read Tukaram's Abhangs, many of them is nothing but Upanishads. Only thing is, it's spoken in Marathi, whereas the knowledge is in the Upanishads, is in the Sanskrit. That's all. But the same Upanishads knowledge, due to the purification inside, very easily Krishna has given them all the realizations what Tukaram needed. And when Tukaram sung the song through the Abhangs, all the Upanishads knowledge has flown through them. Many people in Maharashtra study the Abhangs in the same way they study the Upanishads. They study the Upanishads. So many kirtanam, so many songs what he wrote,
What he says there, many things. While he was within this body, he died, he says. While remaining in the body, he died. This is Upanishad's knowledge it is. That means that the false ego has completely gone from inside. I have no more identity with this body anymore through the false ego. Through the medium of false ego, I am not identifying with this body anymore. So in other words, in their realizations, Tukaram was experiencing that separation from the body and the self. Self-realization has happened to Tukaram already. That's what it means. To sing like that, you got to have that understanding that even though he has not studied any Upanishads, he is still able to sing like that. It is his own realizations coming out in that way. So, he says here that because I died while I was living, he says, because I died while I was living, I have lost the fear of death. That is what happens. While living in this body, if you die, still you are conscious that you live. Dehastobi na dehasta. That verse in the Upanishads, which Krishna has put in the Bhagavadam. That is, that same experience Tukaram got while living in the body. So, could you not say that he has realized that knowledge? Dehastobina dehasta vidvan sapna dhyagotida adehastobina dehasta kumadi sapna drgyatha. That is the verse. What Krishna is saying is dehastobina dehasta. Just like a self-realized, somebody is self-realized while he is within this body, what will happen to him is dehastobina dehasta. Although he is inside that body, he is not in that body anymore. Why? Kumati sapna drgyatha. Just like vidwan sapnad yathothida, just like you wake up from the dream state, how you forget everything what you have seen in the dream, it doesn't disturb you anymore because you have woken up from that. Similarly, although you are inside this body, because you have woken up to the self-realization, you are not affected by this body anymore. Body is not causing any fear anymore for that person. In other words, although he is still in the body, he has actually left the body. That's what it means. Vidwan sopnad yathothida dehastobi, although he is in the deham, dehasta, he is in the deham body, he is not in the deham. Dehastobi na dehasta, he is not in that body anymore. Then other one, adehastobi na dehasta, another person, he is already dead. He has left the body. Physically, he has left the body. But he actually hasn't left the body. Why? He has not lost his identification with the body. Adehastobi na dehasta kumadi sopna drakiyatha. Just like he is still in that dream of that body. He is living in that body. That is the meaning of that verse. And that is the same thing Tukaram is saying here in his abhang, singing like this. That while I was living in the body, I was dead. And that means he has already lost that ego and he is not able to enjoy this world anymore through that ego. We enjoy the world through the ego, isn't it? Ego is what is keeping us going in this world. Finds happiness, this is mine and I'm the owner of this, I've done that. All these are actually transformation of our ego in some forms. So, in due course of time, Panduranga, which is Vithal, as that is a form Tukaram has taken as the deity whom form he has worshipped, and he says, in course of time, in vacant state, in dream state, and in the deep sleep, Vithal is always present in me. He says, Vithal is always present in me. And Jagrati Swapnati Pandurangaha. In Jagrat state and in Swapna state, it is all Panduranga. Who is Panduranga? Panduranga is the one who is present in all the living entities. Not only in one place, in all the objects, inside, outside. And this state has happened to him through bhakti and continuous chanting of the holy name. And they have reached that state. And they have also performed Jnana Vicharam. Jnanam they have also cultivated. But it didn't happen to them. And while cultivating bhakti and nama sankirtanam, sometimes inside this realizations were building up and their intelligence got purified.
And very easily, all the Upanishad's topics became manifested in them as knowledge, Upanishad realizations. So only when there is bhakti in the heart and our purification happens inside, this knowledge will, of the knowledge of the Upanishads, will manifest in a person very easily. Otherwise, it is not possible to engage in cultivating spiritual knowledge without bhakti. So, example is given like this, that in the olden days, even now, in some places they have these checkposts. When you transport some goods from a particular area to another area, you have to pay the duty at the checkpost. That's why the checkposts are created. In India, there are different states. From one state to another state, if you take goods, there is this system, checkpost, where you have to pay the duty and then you can take the goods. So once a businessman thought, if I go on the main road, I have to go through this where you have to pay the duty. There is the checkpost, you have to pay the duty there. He thought that there is an alternative route where there is no checkpost and he can take the goods from one place to another place. So what he did was, he had a bullock cart, he completely loaded with all the goods what he wanted to carry. And he drove the bullock cart through another route. But the bulls, they don't know that route very well. And this person, this businessman, he slept in the night. So what the bull did, bull ran whole night, it was wandering around here and there. In the morning when he got up, the bullock cart has come and he's standing in front of the checkpost. The bulls will do like that. They are like that. You will see, if you observe this, nowadays it's very difficult to say this because this is not in existence anymore. But in the past, from villages to the town, the goods were brought by the bullock carts, either buffaloes or bulls. They will pull these carts. And what they used to do, there will be a row of them, 40, 50, 60 of them in one. And the one only in the front has to be guided and driven. All others will just follow. So what is the advantage? Say there are 50 bullock carts. 49 of them will sleep in the bullock cart. He'll just sit there because they all know the front one, if it goes correct, everybody else will. By the morning, they'll be in the town to unload the goods. They will start late in the evening from the village. And in the night time, there is no traffic. They can just go freely flow. So whole night, these bullock carts will be going in a row, one behind the other. So the front one has to go in the right way and everybody will follow. And they're all so here also, why I'm saying this is, this example is to mention this important point, that we may keep on doing various things in spiritual life, going through bhakti margam, going through karma margam, going through jnana margam, this, that and the other. Ultimately, if I do not inquire, what is my identity, who am I? That question, my real identity, which is the question, which is self-realization, if it doesn't happen, you cannot cross over the checkpost after that, because that's the duty. Because only when self-realization happens, Brahma Sakshatkaram, or what Krishna calls it as Brahma Nirvanam, or another places it's called what Krishna mentions about Parabhakti, that if that realization doesn't come, what my real identity is, then where is the Parabhakti possible? Where is the possibility of cultivating any other spiritual activity in this life? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna, Brahma Bhuta stage, Brahma Bhutam, Brahma Nirvanam, Brahma Sakshatkaram, this all means the same thing, Brahman realization at the end. If that doesn't happen, how is it possible, what Krishna is saying there, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma, if you become Brahma Bhuta stage comes, then na shochati na kankshati, no hankering, no lamentation. In that state, Krishna says, sama sarveshu bhudeshu, you will have an equal mind towards this world. All names and forms, what you see in this world, you won't start thinking one is superior to the other, and you will accept everything as it is. That is sama sarveshu bhudeshu. Krishna is saying, in that state, bhakti is possible. That is where bhakti is. Only in that state, what we execute is bhakti. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.